Coming up on TMS, Nerdtacular came and went, and it was the best thing ever.
Why was Scott peeing in his yard yesterday?
You'll never guess. Potato salad finally gets the Kickstarter it needed.
Pot is short in Washington.
The Floyd is pink once again in 2014.
There's no style like Harry style.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Introducing the Tumblin' Weeble Funhouse.
It's the Tumblin' Weeble Funhouse.
Tumblin' Weebles tumble and wobble all around.
Tumblin' Weebles tumble and wobble, and they do it upside down.
Tumblin' Weeble's Funhouse has a fun elevator and lots of ramps to tumble down.
Tumblin' Weebles tumble and wobble, and they do it upside down.
Tumblin' Weeble's Funhouse comes with everything you see here. Some assembly required. New from Romper Room.
You are not believers. You are forbidden to gaze at the book.
This is the Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream proper. None of this live bullcrap. None of this in front of an audience garbage.
Mm-hmm. None of this sitting down nonsense.
No,
either.
Or drinking gooey white devil drink.
Worst thing ever.
That was the worst thing of all time. I don't even mean on the show. I mean, like, in all of recorded history, since man has been able to put pen to papyrus. Like I said,
I now have a new benchmark, basically. Like, if there's ever anything that I feel like, oh my God, I really don't want to do that, all I have to do is say that or yogurt soda, and that thing will become easy to me. So we were talking about that in Vegas the other day, that we were driving by the Stratosphere, and they've got this new free fall thing.
Not
new. They've had it for a while. Yeah. Where you jump off the Stratosphere, mm-hmm. you're attached to a cable, and then as you get to the bottom, it starts slowing you down.
It's like it's almost like severely controlled bungee jumping in a weird way.
Yeah, exactly. Except you don't go back up.
Yeah, single shot bungee. Exactly.
Exactly. Hmm. And we were talking about that on the drives. We were passing, and Tina and Les are saying, "Oh, there's no way I would ever do that." And I said, "You know, all I have to do is tell myself, yogurt soda, or jump off the Stratosphere." And all of a sudden, jump off the Stratosphere becomes the easiest thing ever.
Now, if you didn't hear our live episode from Nerdtacular and you don't know what we're talking about, when you say the words yogurt soda, it doesn't sound that bad. Like, on the first face of it, it sounds fine. Like, that might be kind of sweet, maybe a little bit tart, but not that bad. No, I don't even, it's a crime to put the word yogurt in there.
Yeah, here's my theory on it. Your wife and sister in law opened two bottles of it and were filling the glasses from two bottles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my theory is that one bottle was good.
Oh, you think?
And one bottle was bad. One bottle was had gone south.
I didn't think about that, but now that you mention it, somebody chugged it and didn't seem to think it was all that bad.
Tom chugged it and said, it tastes like half and half and club soda. And if mine would have tasted like half and half and club soda, I wouldn't have had any problem with it. And Nicole would not have needed us to run up to the store and get some Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, because she downed the whole cup too, I think. Or at least
shot
glass.
Oh, no, did she really?
I
know she had a little drink, but...
I got a taste of it and said, nope, I'm done with that forever from now on. I mean, it was like, hold on. I haven't done this in a while. Hold on.
Imagine
the dead, rotting corpse of a camel laying in a sewage ditch somewhere in India.
Uh-huh.
And then you having to get down on all fours and just lap that up.
And suck from its teat.
That is what we were given in a cup. It was horrendous.
It was really
horrendous.
Really bad. I would, and you know what? Again, thick and liquid, bring it on. No more yogurt soda. Yeah. It's like that.
Oh, we need to do open heart surgery without anesthetic? Great.
Right.
It's that or it's yogurt or the freaking liquid salt yogurt? You got me, man. Go ahead and give me the surgery. It's not a problem.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Holy cow.
Anyway, I got a couple quick things. So when we spoke that day, I told everyone the story about Carter and her poor bird that I ran over,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It was a big hit. We got a lot of feedback already going, funniest thing I've heard, laugh my head off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that story, you should go back and listen to yesterday's. I posted it yesterday, so you can hear the whole thing. We have a new bird. So in a weird twist.
The irony.
she has acquired another suffering small bird who was supposed to be old enough to fly away.
Yeah.
And didn't.
Oh, really? So it's another orphan.
Yeah, another orphan bird. The mother shoved it out of the nest and, you know, bad things happen. And its left wing isn't fully developed, so it can't take off. So she has.
Impossible to say no to that now, isn't it?
So we are now harboring this fugitive, and we have it in a thing until it can fly, and we're feeding it mealworms and little bits of fruit, and it seems to be growing and doing okay, and it will probably in the next couple of days find flight and take off. So there is a rainbow at the end of this tunnel. Wait, is that even? That's not a phrase. There is a pot of gold at the end of the hall. Is that a thing?
Right.
No,
something like
I've
that.
I've mixed
yeah.
my metaphors. Yes. Bottom line is new bird, new life. Carter is much happier. It's good.
We're is the fine. New bird kept in a cage or in a shoebox on the floor in the garage?
It is a big tub that we carried Nerdtacular crap in.
Really,
and it poops like nothing. No other animal poops like this bird. I don't know what's going on. I didn't realize birds were constantly pooping all the time.
He thinks he's on a statue, basically.
Yeah. What is the deal with birds generally? Like, they just...
Right.
Like, oh, give me a second. I need to poo first before I do anything else. When I have to poo again.
That's right. Let me see if I can stack these up. Hold on.
This morning, I was just holding them while Carter was getting ready some water out of a dropper for him.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you go near him with your hand at all, and it goes, beep, 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 opens its mouth and flaps its wings out because it can't wait to eat whatever the hell it is you're feeding it. So while it does that with a straw, she's putting a little water in its mouth. It just takes a big warm turd right on my knee. Just a big, big wet one.
Of course.
So
of course.
We need this vermin out of the house as soon as possible. So fly, my pretty fly.
How are you going to teach it? Are you going to put it on the roof and then just kind of nudge it off gently?
Do we have to replicate? Do we have to replicate the normal bird thing? And I don't think so. I think what we're going to do is just have it go out and hop around on the grass like we've been doing, you know, every few hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of these times, it's just going to take off. And if it doesn't, if it's still lame and wants to stay with us forever, I'm calling the fish and wildlife people and they can come take care
Perfect.
Of it.
Perfect.
So we got a plan. It's all good.
Or you can, you know, have it at the edge of a steep drop off and then slowly drive your car towards it.
I heard about this. I got to get out of here.
The two options.
Yeah, it's not good.
Fly or crush.
So speaking of backyards, something weird happened. Well, you know what? Before we say anything about that, I just have to say once again, I don't want to, you know, belabor the point or ruin the overall vibe or the glow that I still feel from it. But man, this year's Nerdtacular was freaking epic.
It really was.
It was the best we've ever had, period.
Yeah, by every year it just keeps getting better and better.
And I don't know why. I just know it was, and I'm okay with that. I'm content to not try to dissect it and figure out the reasons. I mean, although
things went really smoothly. There was, we had a lot of people there. There were only, you know, a handful of podcasters who couldn't make it out.
Yeah, very few.
And
we missed and Eric and Randy and others, and you know,
yep.
But not too many.
We did Terpster.
Okay. Yeah, Terpster. Mm-hmm. He got a nice message from him, though. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's having a baby.
I know.
It's so exciting. Well,
a little mini Terpster, a Terpster mite.
I can't wait until he's a father. It's going to be good for him. I'll slow that boy down a little
how
bit.
How is that going to change? I know. The mind reels at how he's going to change as a father.
Holy well, hopefully, cow. You know, hopefully he does. Well, I have a prediction. I think Terpster, like, there, I can name other people, but Terpster's one in particular where, you know, he's kind of wacky and crazy, and he can put more alcohol in his guts than anyone I've ever met, and he's just like a freak, right?
Right.
But there's always this thing when you're around him, you just know he's going to be this great dad. You just have this feeling and he'll be great. I'm not worried about him at all. I think he's going to be.
There's awesome. Time for playing Minecraft and there's time for taking care of the baby.
Equally as well. He always says that. Equally as well as his.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. Exactly. Fink at the end of everything. yeah, we're super stoked for him. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. So yes, some people were missing, but it just was epic, and everybody who was there was so freaking nice. And
the
split, I think the breakouts were great. The panel choices were awesome. Nothing went bad. The AV worked perfectly. The film dudes were great. Everybody was just great. I don't know.
We had an altercation, not altercation, but had a little clash with the wedding party that was.
Oh, did you?
Also, at,
I was wondering about that because that's kind of on Snowbird. They goofed and scheduled that after. Okay, so here's the deal: we have a main showrunner, right, who helps us. She got us all reserved. We were supposed to have everything for the whole 3 days.
Right.
Then somebody, not her, scheduled this stupid wedding reception, and they and that wasn't supposed to happen. So they were kind of like, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" And they came to us, and we said, "Well, I mean, we'll be okay. We're nice guys. We're not going to bug them." And
yeah, of course.
You know, we may be walking around. I hope they don't mind that. But that's just them's the breaks if you're going to schedule a wedding.
Exactly. We're going to walk around.
Yeah, and they seemed to, and they said, "Okay, phew, you know, we this will all work out for everybody." So what happened? I didn't hear about this.
So we had a couple people at Nerdtacular. I mean, there's, you know, we have every kind of people
Nerdtacular. We have all the people, right?
All kinds. We are all accepting, all loving, love all, serve all, just like Hard Rock Cafe. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple people who are maybe more lean more towards the goth look, who have you know, long dark hair.
Oh, I love those
hair.
Guys. They're the best.
I do too. Yeah. And one guy has his hair is shaved in a really cool way on the sides of his head, like he's got these kind of separate patches. You know, stuff that I wish I could still do.
He's scary. You know what? He's one of those guys. You see him. Appearances are not everything, because when you see him, he's scary as shit.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, gosh, don't come near, you know, don't come over here. I'm just a poor white man who will die under your foot or whatever. But he is the nicest, sweetest guy I've ever known. And he's been at Nerdtacular before, but so nice. Like he couldn't be nicer. Anyway,
exactly.
So
and it was that kind of judgment that that I guess he got, and I'm hearing this second or third hand, but that he got from a bunch of Docker laden, white shirt Sears catalog looking dudes from the wedding party.
Great, my favorite.
That he got some sort of
the real threat,
under the breath comment or something. Yeah,
the real threat in life you're talking about.
Yes, exactly, exactly. There was such a boy. Talk about a dichotomy, and I don't want to dwell on the. The wedding party versus us, but up at the Airy, which is this great bar restaurant thing up on the 10th floor of Snowbird.
Yeah, I love that.
And this big long bar, and I walk in there after the concert, and you look in there, and you can instantly tell who's there for the wedding party and who's there for Nerdtacular.
Yep, yep.
And it's the people who are just there to have a great time. And, you know, they're there to see their friends. They're there to hang out. They're there to talk about the things that they love. Mm-hmm. And then you've got people who look like they won't leave the room unless every drop is used out of that Aquanet bottle. Unless that, that can of Axe is empty, they are not leaving the hotel room.
Yeah. I think you may have just touched on what makes the event special. I think you just did it.
Yeah.
Because that none of that exists, that pretense and that like uptight freaking BS is just gone.
It really is.
With the Nerdtacular thing.
Exactly.
And I think that's it. I think that really is it. And that even exists in some other cons. Like when you get to big numbers, you can't help but have kind of weird factions that are uptight or weird or whatever. Because we keep this thing kind of cozy and stuff, you just don't have it. So it feels like this just really intensely engaged, welcoming thing. We had everybody, man. We had gun-toting conservatives, pro wrestlers, transgender. By the way, Abby, you're awesome. You're totally
holy cow,
great,
and the best She-Hulk cosplay
ever
I've ever seen. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Yeah, all that it took like she told me it took like 2 hours to put that. 2 or 3 hours or something to put all that green on.
All that green,
yeah.
Sure.
I wonder how long it took the maid to get it out of the tub. But anyway, it was just so good to see so much diversity, but all kind of commonly, you know, there for the same cause. And you know, you can get mushy talking about this stuff, but it really is something to behold. It's really special, is. And the music was insane. Mm-hmm. Double clicks were amazing. Andrew did awesome. And my favorite thing, though, of all, and you're not going to get enough credit for this, so I'm going to give you more right now.
Okay, all right.
The All-Stars structure of semifinals and finals and all that stuff, and then how much content you literally had jammed in there. Unfreaking believable. And I had more fun with that this year than I ever have in the past.
I did, too. I think that despite a couple of issues with Name That Nerd, which I will only say was written by somebody else and it is completely on me that I didn't double check all those answers.
Yeah, yeah.
They called as I was driving home to see how things went, and I didn't answer the phone because I wanted to make sure I had some time to.
The wounds were still fresh.
Right, exactly. It's like, hey, want to see how things went with the questions? Like, okay, yeah, hold on,
yeah.
Hold on. I'm driving home. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, it was so great, man.
It was a blast. And the couple new games, the Attack of the Clone movies,
that
and then the singing. Holy cow! Who would have thought that Patrick from France could completely commandeer that category?
Yeah, for sure. By the way, Patrick not only wowed us with that. Blew our minds because we thought that was almost a mistake going in, you know, like, oh, all right, this will be funny at least, you know, we didn't think it'd be very good. He nailed it.
Right.
But Justin Robert Young, the freaking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The freaking go to guy, man.
Jeez. I think he almost needs to be a team by himself next year.
I agree. He was the Terpster of this year. Terpster's the same
Craig.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. Terpster, man. No kidding.
Yeah.
And Jeff in the chat room, Jalen Jade, I think is what we know him as too from the Tadpole. Says, you know, he thinks that the Belmont addendum that I did, the score change for Name That Nerd was unnecessary. I actually think that for next year, I'm going to relook at the scoring because I don't think everything should all be weighed equally. Mm-hmm. Answering a question about Wilford Brimley shouldn't give you the same amount of points as being blindfolded and picking out August Osage County.
Yes.
From three freaking categories, including yellow, or three clues, including the word yellow.
And having been the guy who was asked those two exact questions, I can confirm that they are on very different levels, those two things.
Exactly. So,
although I nailed that Brimley man right in the
you
mustache.
Did. And I did not even get to the word diabetes.
Yep. As soon as you said what he had been in and where, I think you mentioned, the thing.
Liberty Medical. Oh, the thing, right.
I went, bing, that's it. And, Brimley.
Firm, yeah.
Yep.
Utah did you know he was a bodyguard for Howard Hughes?
That part I did not know. So was well into that I was getting confused. But I did know that he is currently resting nicely in a big, huge ranch just about 4 hours south of me. So that's good. But anyway, on the whole, just a freaking epic time, man. And I just loved everybody. And if you're listening to us now, thank you all for coming once again. And if none of this interests you at home, if somebody is at home going, well, I don't like that Nerdtacular. I just want to hear about Florida stories and penis enlargement. Well, don't worry, we'll get to that too.
We got that too.
We got that right here. They shut my water off yesterday.
Oh no!
Yeah, I come home. Oh my gosh! So
were you using water for nefarious things, and they finally said, "Nope, sorry, you've broken our terms of agreement for the water."
I was starting a water war with the neighbors to the north. So you know we're having this construction across the street. They're putting in these townhome type things. They're real nice, but we're in the thick of the early construction. And mm-hmm. So the road's been a little banged up. They've shut down, you know, access a couple of times. That's all done now. They pretty much got all the foundation and like major sewer stuff laid and all that, but they had to do the water mains yesterday. Well, we didn't know about it. So we get home Sunday. There's a note on our door saying, hi, we're from the city and we're letting you know that between the hours of 8 a.m. and this is on for Monday, 8 a.m. until 7 p.m., no water. It's going to be shut off completely. So just so you know, hope you have to, you know, not drink anything or take a pee or whatever.
Right.
So I was like, really? We come home and the first day back, I got to deal with, you know.
They couldn't have done it on like one of the days that you were out of the house anyway.
Yeah, like last Friday. Well, I guess that was the 4th of July, so you can't really.
Well, yeah.
So whatever. You can't do anything about it. So at 8 o'clock, we shut off our main so we didn't get any big air pockets in there or anything weird. You know, or one of the workers gets sucked in there. I didn't want his pinky sticking out of my water main or something like that. So, you know, we're dutiful citizens. We do what we got to do. And I told Kim, I said, you know, if I got to go during the day, I'm going. She goes, well, you can flush the toilet once or twice. I'm like, no. I'm doing this like I'm going to stand up against these heathens and I'm just going to go pee in the backyard. So I did three different times, Brian. And I did it stoically and I did it with my head held high. And I didn't care if the next door neighbor who's got an extra floor on us, if he even looked down from his high vaulted ceiling and looked at me or not. I don't care. I'm just going to pee right here on these rocks. I'm going to let it soak into the soil over there. Tough shit, everybody. I'm peeing. Right. I'm going to go pee. And I did.
That's my backyard, darn it. And I can pee in it if I want.
That's right. I peed three freaking times. and I feel good about it. You, on the other hand, almost died twice, and I can't wait to hear what happened here.
Now, before I tell the story, the tadpole is all a Twitter about something that has just appeared behind me. Are you looking at your...
What is this?
That is Tim the Enchanter, who is a special guest... in the Coverville studio. That's that's Les from
doesn't look like him with this all this crap on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess that's the idea of a good costume, yeah.
That's right, exactly. but everyone's like, turn around, oh my god, Brian, there's somebody behind
you.
There's
a guy in your house dressed as Tim the Enchanter or whatever.
That's right. Les is part of the Colorado Caravan and was a huge help in because of the time, that we kind of got stuck with the albums, the CDs, Secret Identity CDs, the Andrew Allen Trio Secret Identity CDs had to get shipped directly to Nerdtacular. Yeah. So we couldn't, you know, have them shipped here to the house and then bring them. We actually had to ship them directly to the event. And, that's 12 boxes of about 1,000 CDs.
That's expensive.
And we were, but we were filled to the brim. We had four of us. We had, Tina and I, Tristan and his buddy Simon, and all of our stuff to fit in the Ford Escape. So we had no way of getting everything back. So Les agreed to, if I took care of his hotel room last night, he stayed at the Luxor. Las Vegas.
That's the big Egyptian hotel, everybody.
That's a big pyramid with the Sphinx in front of it.
It's pretty good. Still smells like cigarettes and ash, but still a big, nice hotel.
Exactly. So he came to the concert at the Artifice. He was part of the Colorado Caravan returning. The poor guy drove solo because on the way out he had Fuzzy with him. He had Brian with him, but on the way back he was driving solo in his car. But total trooper. Anyway,
That's awesome.
So we're driving home. We're on our way back, and this is, you know, left Las Vegas at about 8:30 a.m. Vegas time, and we're just coming over Lookout Mountain, which is the last leg of the drive, and we're maybe about half an hour, 45 minutes from being home. And it's about 10 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night. It's dark. There's lightning over the city that you can see as you're coming over Lookout Mountain, looking down upon Denver. And no rain, but it's overcast and it's you know, and it's dark and windy mountain roads as you're coming around.
I'll give you a little bit of
scary mood music. Very good.
Okay.
And these windy mountain roads, and you know, you come around a corner and you're kind of just watching the road as it goes by. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there's a deer.
Oh my gosh, no way. Yes. I wasn't prepared. Ah, there's a deer in the lane.
So this deer decided that there was a gap in traffic, that I was kind of in the front of the next batch of cars. And this deer is just do-do-do-do-do walking across. And he goes from – and as I'm coming around this curve, I see him walking from the lane, which would be to my right, into my lane.
No.
And he gets in my lane, and he looks up at me like, oh, shit. So, Les is right behind me at this point in the caravan. And I do this magical mixture of swerving and hitting the brake just enough to slow down to not enough to start spinning, but, enough to like quickly veer into the right lane. Thank God no one was in the right lane next to me. We might have. I mean, it would have been basically, all right, well, car or deer. I guess we're taking deer. But that thing would have
gone. Were Simon and Tristan asleep, like bonking heads?
They were awake, and Tina was awake, and it was like, deer.
It sounds like that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh God,
with the trucks, and they both turned to skeletons for a minute and looked at each other.
Exactly. Like that.
And John Candy was the devil laughing for a minute.
It's almost exactly what it was.
Wow.
Oh my, or Tommy Boy with
Oh, that could be bad, dude. That could have been real bad.
It could have been really bad. I don't think there were any horns on the deer. It was just like but it was full size. That thing would have gone through the windshield for sure.
Yeah.
It was dead center of the lane. So if I were looking down, adjusting my phone or replying to a text or anything like that, then
Hell to pay is what it would have been.
Hell to pay, yes. Yeah, Geek Girl says that I actually Geek Girl's oldest says that I need a spanking because of the word I said a moment ago.
Oh, was the S word, that one?
The S word,
oh,
yes.
I did one earlier. Don't I get my spanking? I want one, too.
You get a spanking, too.
All
so.
Right, fine. Well, holy geez, dude. That's crazy. Yeah.
And then it just scampered off. Like, I went around it, and I kind of looked over to the side, and it just, like, scampered off towards the median. Where it probably got hit going across the other side.
Yeah, deer are dumb that way. But isn't it funny how it's always like right toward the end of a drive that something bad happens like that? It's like everything's fine up to a point and then last minute just.
And it's funny because at dinner, so we were at dinner in Glenwood Springs and I was telling Les, I don't really, Las Vegas was kind of uneventful. There was nothing, I didn't have any gambling stores because I didn't do any gambling and nothing really happened because we were basically just running left and right to get everything ready for the show, so I really don't have any stories for TMS.
Yeah.
And then boom. And so as soon as we got to my house and pulled in the driveway, I said, "All right, looks like I've got a story for TMS."
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right to me. It was a bit like this. Hold on, do I have a crash sound? Hold on, no, that's a song. Never mind, I'm not going to play that.
Are you going to play Dave Matthews Band Crash? Is that what you're
going to play? No, it's some other band with a song named Crash. You know how many Crash songs and movies there are? It's kind of out of control. Yeah. You should do a whole Coverville on Crash songs.
On the word Crash?
Yeah, why not?
I know there's the Dave Matthews Band. There's the one by the girl group. Here you go, way too fast. Don't slow down, you're going to crash.
Primitives. Oh, yeah, I have that. Yeah. I like that song.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it in small doses.
Yes.
I don't like it all the time.
Anyway,
it's Daryl time. Should we call Daryl?
Let's call Daryl.
Yeah, we've had our fill.
Who was another surprise massive hit?
Huge hit at the concert. Goodness.
At the concert. Holy cow.
Yeah, broke out of his out of the Daryl shell and gave us what for? It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
The River Maiden, a novel by Meredith R. Stoddard. Celtic legends collide with modern sensibilities in this contemporary gothic tale. Sarah McAlpin is a folklorist, tracing the roots of a Scottish folk song she learned as a child. But her academic journey will uncover some tragic childhood memories and unlock a dark destiny set in motion generations ago. Ooh. The River Maiden is available in ebook form from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and Smashwords.
Sounds good to me. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You made it home.
Yes, alive.
Right.
Yeah.
You and the boy had fun, right? Had a good time?
Oh, tons of fun.
He's
nothing's more funner than Nerdtacular.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He's a cute kid, and every time I talked to him, he just was so wide-eyed and excited about anything going on. He just seemed like, man, I'm in a cool place right now, and that was nice to see. Him and all the kids, by the way. I got to say this too. Yeah. This is one thing I like about Nerdtacular is we're very kid friendly, very open to families bringing their kids and whatever, and had more stuff for them this year and things they could do and have, and there's no rotten kids. Nobody was running around breaking shit or falling down things or setting anything on fire
or anything like that.
Yelling or crying. Even the babies were good.
Mm-hmm. There were some adorable babies.
Reggie's little kid and Brandon Matthews' little kid.
Yes.
My gosh, the cute factor was constantly beeping. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Too much cute. Too much
all
cute.
Smiley, all happy.
Humans here. All right. Daryl was a huge, fun, good time having you there, and you were great in everything you participated in. But man, the highlight had to be your 1930 performance.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish honestly, I've got all that stuff, and I was going to cap it out. I'll do that for tomorrow. But that was an amazing few minutes.
And here's the funniest thing, and I know this is what was intended, but so Daryl gets up there, and the first thing he says is, "Well, I'm going to sing a song for you. And maybe a lot of people will be surprised to learn that the song has words." And I had no idea what was coming.
Me neither. So, I hadn't heard about this.
So I was thinking, he's going to sing Roddenberry's original lyrics to Star Trek.
Yeah.
That was my first assumption. And that's what you were going for, right?
That was the plan, yeah.
Wow, nicely done, because you had me fooled. I thought the same thing.
Completely. Yeah.
In fact, I think even Veronica bumped me and said, "Is he going to sing the lyrics like Star Trek?" I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
And so you had everybody fooled. But then part of me was still going, he's got to have a 1930 in there somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Andrew Allen originally came to me and said, "Let's do a thing where you sing the Star Trek theme." And so I remember that the words didn't match the music at all. And I looked at it again and I thought, oh, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
The words and the music just or too impossible.
Well, then
so
you,
I said, let's start out like I'm going to do that and then do 1930 instead.
Well, so in a way you performed a little sabotage, as Captain Kirk would say it. Nice job.
You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Sabotage. Brian, you went all crusty, but I can't tell why.
Oh, sorry.
You downloading something big?
No, no, nothing going on here as far as I can tell.
Or your voice just went, now you sound like
this. Hey, do I sound normal now?
No, oh my God. It just sounds like you're in a can. It's weird. I don't know
still?
What that is. Oh, now you're better.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, you know, it might be doing a backup.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Skip this backup time machine.
Screw it. Daryl, Trek Nerd Time, we're back in the saddle. We're going to go back to the roots here. We're going to do what we do on a daily basis, which is ask you a Star Trek trivia question. It is not movie related, I don't think, anyway. Yeah, it's not. I just checked.
Okay.
And you're going to see how you do. By the way, I think it was best that you got it wrong the other day. It would have been less fun if you'd gotten it right.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe you wanted to have a unicorn in place of that damn horse. How stupid. Anyway, here it is. Welcome back to Stump a Trek Nerd, says Mike, post-Nerdtacular edition. By the way, Mike/Iceworm pounded a bottle of yogurt soda. Go to Viking Lass's Vine videos to see it happen.
Oh, and I agree. One of those bottles were bad.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. That's what I got, too. Me and you, I think we got the bad bottle from Kim, and Sarah doled out the good one. And the good one seemed to go down fine for everybody who tried it, and I'll bet that's what Mike had, too.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, because now there's no... Yeah. Way for the other side to understand what we went through.
Right.
You know, like there's freaking Tom Merritt, the Brave over there,
the table.
drinking Satan's urine, or we are. Well, he doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah, I did that too.
You had the urine candy. That's right.
Yeah.
There's a great line floating around of you saying, oh, this urine's not so bad, or something like that. I'll have all that. I still haven't had time to get all that stuff out.
Oh, there's so much great stuff to cap from that.
But we will. All right, Daryl, in the Next Generation episode, we Ackways have Paris. I'm suspect of all his typos. I think he's putting them in on purpose. Picard recounts his relationship with Janice Manheim, a real steamroller of a gal. Anyway, many years prior to him being captain of the Enterprise, he was supposed to meet her at a cafe in Paris. What cafe were they supposed to meet at? Was it A, Café des Artis, B, La Closier des Lies, C, Le Coquelicot des Ablesses, or D, Le Caf Eoth Equa. I'm sure none of this
those
is.
Those are exactly right. Hold on.
Squeery.
Got it. Let's see. So while you think about all that, we do have those chocolates. You guys have those handy?
Oh, yeah.
It's been so long, we forgot we do this, right?
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Now, I got to admit, I cheated and ate the passion one already, so that's gone now. But I could do anything else. There's one in here that looks like it has, like, a footprint on it. One of them has, like, a white paisley pattern. Not paisley, but, like, a swirly pattern. It's in the shape of like a teardrop.
Oh, yeah, like a teardrop. Yep.
Do you guys have a preference? I can tell these are getting a little dry.
No preference. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an iTunes card and cut one of them in half, and Les and I are going to share it.
Wow.
So he gets to taste test as well.
That is some double duty on that iTunes gift card
some
right there.
Double duty.
Well, then yes. I'll recommend we do let's do the white one with a little pineapple thing in it.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
What's that one with the Transformers logo on it?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what that is. That's the one I think looks like a foot. It's not.
No. There's one that's got a...
It's like dusty, but in a diamond shape and then a Transformers logo.
Oh, and that's what you think looks like a foot? I thought it was the one that had a leaf stamped into it.
No, that one just looks
like a... Is that the one you ate?
No.
Oh, you ate the passion one.
I ate that passion one. You guys can eat those at your leisure. Well, let's do the white one. Let's get the white one out of the way.
All right. White one it is. Okay. This is the chef... Brian portion here. I'm going to make sure.
This smells a little bit like that yogurt soda.
Oh, no. Do not even say that. Not even utter those words.
It doesn't smell anything like that sour freaking nasty. I know we got the wrong one then. I'm pissed now that I don't know what the real thing really actually tastes like.
As I cut off my, take the stuff off of my iTunes gift card here. All right,
this
ready?
This is good.
Oh, you guys ready? Okay.
There's nothing
wrong with that at all.
Mm-mm.
If that soda tasted like this, I'd drink the whole bottle.
What does this remind me of? Oh, I know what it reminds me of. Those chocolate oranges and Christmas, you break them. They taste like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's quite good.
So that was the Valencia orange marzipan with orange peel and apricots topped with a ginger slice.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, that was so good.
I hate the
These
word marzipan.
These chocolates are huge, and they are the best thing in the world.
I'm putting them all in my hotels. That's right.
Oh, there's a hair in this one. Couldn't have come from me.
Vote for Mitt Romney.
Excellent. Big thanks again to...
Was he Romney or who was he into?
Ryan and JK for sending us all these chocolates.
Who was he all into? Can you remember what candidate? It wasn't Romney. It was somebody else who was behind.
Well, no, he was...
Rick Perry?
Wasn't it Romney?
Well, eventually it was because everybody had to back Romney at the end, but there was somebody else. Ah, crap. I miss the heady days of the... electoral 2012. I enjoyed that time.
Well, guess what? You'll have it in a couple of years.
That's true.
All over again.
That one will be interesting because I don't like Hillary Clinton very much.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather have, like, give me somebody, let me think about that.
Ron Paul, baby. Ron Paul.
I want a lady president, but I think she's mean. I want somebody nice in there. I don't know who, but I couldn't tell you who. Like, who was Bob Dole's wife? I can't remember her name. Elizabeth Dole. She was cool.
Oh, Elizabeth Dole.
She was all right.
No, Geraldine Ferraro. No, Sarah Palin.
No.
We need a, who's been a good,
Michelle Bachmann's been great. Oh, what?
Fictionalized TV or movie female president. Like the one on 24 wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah. No, she was great. Oh, gosh. I can't think of any right now, but there have been plenty.
There have been a lot.
All right, if you just pick an actress to be president.
Yes, Annette Bening.
Annette Bening would be okay. You know what? Great. That's a pretty good pick. Also, Sigourney Weaver. She'd be good.
Sigourney Weaver would be a fantastic president.
I think she'd be a perfect... She's very presidential. I can't think of
Gina Davis. Yes, Gina Davis had a whole TV show about being the president.
That's right, she did. Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Rosalind, President Rosalind.
Oh, Rosalind was going, No, I'd take her. She was all right.
Catherine Keener would make a good president.
Yeah. Not the one. Who's the Truman Show lady? We don't want her. Her eyes are too crazy.
No. Yeah.
She's not in charge. Can't do that.
No.
All right. Daryl, we got any birthdays, by the way? Who's celebrating a damn birthday?
Well, that would not be the grumpy guy. Mm. That was during Nerdtacular. But this... Oh, I got to say, my favorite part of Nerdtacular was
the year 3000.
It was really good. That was pretty special.
Thanks.
There's bootleg video of that on the internet already somewhere.
That's the actual stuff from UTA is what I saw.
Oh, he told me he hadn't posted any of that stuff yet.
Oh, yeah, that looked professionally done, so...
It was uploaded really crappy quality, though. I got to find out.
Oh, then maybe it's a different one that I saw.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be getting a full-blown HD file soon on all that stuff, so we'll be YouTubing the hell out of it, don't worry. Anyway, yeah, okay. I like that too. That was a good time.
Thanks. That was another thing that was like, the day I was packing, Andrew said, okay, here's what you're going to be doing. Do you have a robe? Like, yeah, I do. I've got a Jedi robe. I'll bring that.
Yeah. Lucky us there, Andrew. We got a robe you need. All right, whose birthday? Who's celebrating?
Okay. That would be Jay Chataway. Ooh. He's 68 today.
Okay.
He did the musical scores for 183 episodes of TNG through Enterprise.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I know his style. He has the next gen music style, right? Like, that's that guy. He's the one that does the whole... I can't even mimic
Voyager, it. He was the composer for Voyager, Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chataway.
I actually kind of hate the style now, but at the time,
Stephen King's
really
Silver Bullet, which why haven't we watched for?
Because we are lame, and we need to make up for our horrible sin and watch that because that would be great. Silver Bullet coming soon. All right, let's get back to it. There, Shatner. Daryl, your question was which one of these cafes was Picard and that lady meeting in? The Café d'Artis, the La Cossière del Lys. The Le Coquillette des Abastus, or the...
And the best thing you can do is cover up your inability to read these by throwing in an accent.
Yeah, exactly. Or the La Caff-Eoth-esque.
Wow. Where's Patrick when we need him?
I know, right? Back in France, that bastard.
After his McDonald's.
He was so much
which
fun.
Which was really, really, really tasty.
It is right. Yeah, his accent is very unique, I think.
I love listening to Patrick.
I could listen to him all day.
I love hearing him say the word really.
Really.
It is really, really.
Really, really beautiful is, here. Really, really.
If you
really.
Are wanting to do a podcast, it is really, really, really important.
That's so him. I was so glad he came.
Oh, yeah.
Made my whole world. All right. Sorry. What do you think? What do you got?
Okay. what was A?
A was the Café des Artistes.
That sounds very wrong.
All right.
I mean,
not just his pronunciation, but the answer.
Because I was going to agree. Yeah, it sounds really wrong to me, too.
So I think but the rule of thumb is if it ends with ES, you don't pronounce that part.
Mm.
That's really just extra flavoring. That's the parsley on the dish of that phrase.
All right. All right.
I thought it was like artiste or something.
Maybe it is.
That's how you'd pronounce it. Yeah, Café des Artistes.
Yeah, yeah. None of these others have artiste, do they? I don't think so.
No.
Nope. There's one about an abscess.
Yeah. Abscess.
Le coquelio de...
Yeah, listen, you already did that better than I did after three tries.
It's really, really, really easy to speak French.
Well, I'm going to choose A because that has the artist thing, and that's what I remember from it. It sounded like it was an artist cafe or something.
All right, well, there you go. Let's find out if you're right. Is it that one?
Congratulations! You're a winner!
Single-handedly making up for the over-the-weekend episode that we did.
I just can't believe you didn't get that movie question about what Shatner was thinking
when
he did The Undiscovered Country.
Right. what was possibly in the mind of a whole other human being.
Yeah.
They were supposed to meet here, but Picard never showed up. Years later, Janice's husband sent a distress call that was answered by the Enterprise, or as he wrote, and sweared. Picard and Janice, reunite briefly and go to the cafe on the holodeck. It doesn't malfunction this time. Earlier in the episode, Picard visits the cafe by himself. Here is a very special clip right here.
And now the proper pronunciation. Café des Artistes. La Closerie des Lilas. Le Coquelicot des Abbesses. La Caféothèque. There you go. French delivered to your ears.
He didn't say really in any of that,
really,
though.
Really?
Wow.
This is really
just what I wished for.
Difference.
You should have played that before we started.
Yeah. Well, then it would have been a lot easier for me.
That was the whole joke. Yeah.
What's great about it is I didn't know that was in... I didn't know what that file was. I was just playing it. So
awesome.
Nice thinking there, Ice Warren. Way to think ahead, buddy. That's why he wanted to come change the questions yesterday. He's like, don't use the questions in there. I got to change them. I said, okay. Now it all makes sense. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also part of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. The Grumpy Cast, which he did live with Hammond Chamberlain right there at the show. And,
almost a full room.
Oh, that's fantastic. Very nice. That's the other nice thing. All the panels and offshoot shows and everything seemed to just all get like equal shares. Like nobody was ever like one or two people in there. They all got chunks of people, which made me really happy. Daryl, it's always good to have you on. And before you go, you play a weird game. We didn't do this on Friday for some reason. I don't know why we didn't. Why didn't we?
We were just trying to get the pacing going.
That's true. We
probably
were
or something.
We were hauling it, so yeah, that's how it goes. Well, why don't you play one now? What is it?
Okay. Well, this isn't the Nerdtacular one because I don't want to do that one. So
All right. We'll
just start where we start.
All right.
Is this a Star Trek thing or a flooring material?
Here, there's our theme.
End times.
All right. Star Trek thing or flooring material, go.
Tekkasite.
That sounds like both.
Ooh, it does.
It sounds
like some made up, like, this, you know, how will your floors last for 30 years without mopping with Tekkasite?
Tekkasite is how. Yeah, that, I'm going to lean that way. Because we did a lot of shopping for artificial wood flooring for a while in my old house, and I remember a lot of names, and they sound a lot like this. So I would vote that.
Okay.
I will vote that way as well.
Yeah.
Daryl, how'd we do?
It is a bomb ingredient used at DS9.
Damn it. I thought you were saying it's a bomb ingredient also used for flooring.
Floors.
Fantastic. Nicely done, Daryl. All right, time for this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by ManiacalIndustries.com, where science and funny meet to have brunch. Check out our binary code pirate. I brain science and Occam's razor tees today. Scott, let's give one away to a tadpooler. What tweets? Squeery. Hashtag S-Q-U-E-E-R-Y. Squeery. We'll pick a random winner on Friday.
Nice. I think that's still going. Mm-hmm. We may have screwed him up with all the missing shows last week. I'm not sure. Mm. By the way, thank you all for indulging us. It was just crazy.
Oh, my God.
Getting everything done. And you were traveling.
Thanks for all the... Holy cow, thanks for all the swag. Got a coffee cup from a DEA agent.
Yes.
Steve,
I have that
Mayer.
Too over here somewhere.
Yes. Steve may or may not have brought me some infused libations, let's say.
Ooh.
So, listen, we brought a little alcohol to Snowbird, but we took it all back with us unopened, okay?
Yeah. Calm down. We haven't heard any complaints.
No. Oh, Joe and that amazing flask.
Oh, my gosh. Those things.
The producers got those. Were just amazing.
Yeah, we're talking to that guy. We got ideas.
Yeah, for sure. And the sweatshirt, the sweatshirt that's got the frog pants logo bleached out of it. Yeah. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well,
it's too much to go into now. But the generosity and just the hugs and the handshakes and the high fives and the.
It's amazing.
Everything was fantastic.
By the way, this text in, just in, beep, 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 from Nicole Spag. She's listening to the show. She says, Mark pees in the backyard all the time, and our water isn't even off. Well, I would argue you can do that in Phoenix because it evaporates before it even hits the scorched earth.
Right.
That's all that happens. Right back into the atmosphere where it came from. All right, we got some stuff here. Potato Salad Kickstarter has raised how much again? Oh, my gosh. They are, I think they're past this now. Let me click this and see what the latest total is. The potato salad, oh my gosh, they were asking for $10. They are at $38,466. This is the potato salad Kickstarter. It literally is described as this. I'm making potato salad. Basically, I'm just making potato salad. I haven't decided what kind yet. That was it. That's all it said before. Now it says, update, we did it. Our stretch goals are $35. I will make four times as much potato salad. I know 40 isn't four times 10, but you guys have earned it. At $75, we'll do a pizza party. At $100, I will try two different potato salad recipes. Update two, all the potato salad that's fit to print. We've made the news. Let's keep up the good work. Anyway, it goes on, more and more stretch goals. Here's his biggest stretch goal.
Yeah.
We're really tearing through these stretch goals. I honestly don't know what is realistic anymore. So I thought maybe be time to double the current number. 3,000. My kitchen is too small. I will rent out a party hall and invite the whole internet to the potato salad party. Only $10 and above will be allowed in the kitchen. The internet loves potato salad. Let's show them the potato salad loves the internet. And that's it. There are how many total backers? 3,555 backers, 38 grand for the potato salad Kickstarter with 24 days to go.
There's people who've, pledged $50. 65 people have pledged $50 or more.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
What is going on?
This is all wrong.
Why weren't we thinking of this? And you know what? The sicky
like risks and challenges. It might not be that good. It's my first potato salad.
I mean, I appreciate the approach and the sense of humor. I really do. But here's, and I don't say this is bad or anything. Fine, whatever. It's a Kickstarter. My problem is the copycat crap that's going to come out of this is going to put my head to bed. I'm going to hate it, Brian.
Right.
Help me get a box of, I don't know, Junior Mints and eat them, or something dumb's going to come next. It's going to, we're going to have a string of these, and it's all going to be bad.
38,000. Oh, yeah, this guy, and it's still, there's still over 3 weeks to go.
Yep. This reminds me of the Million Dollar Webpage. Do you remember that? That whole thing? Like back in 05 or something?
I remember the $1,000 iPhone app.
Oh, that was another thing just like this. It's that same idea where it's like the Million Dollar Webpage was like, come buy a pixel of space and you'll own that pixel forever for $100 or whatever.
Really?
The guy made like $1 million-something. It was ridiculous. But and then there was a billion copycats, and then everyone hated it, and it went away. This is what this is going to be, I'm telling you. Tip of the spear. By the time we get to the Fletches, we're done. We're out. The Fletches? The Fletching. Whatever.
The Fletching.
Scott Fletcher. Right. Got it.
That's just wrong.
By the way, Steven Schleicher said Hail Hydra every time I hugged him over the weekend.
Did he whisper it in your ear?
He did. He did.
Hail Hydra.
He's stuck. He's stuck with it, too. There is a marijuana shortage in Washington state.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. It says, the headline says, it's going to sober the state ahead of retail sales. His glass pipes are on display and final regulatory hurdles nearly cleared. But the biggest concern for Cannabis City owner James Lathrop is that as he opens a Seattle pot shop this week, is the possibility of running out of mind-altering bud in a matter of hours. The state
Man, I'm almost out of the... So would you like to buy a glass pipe, man?
I'm almost out of weed, man. What do you do when your shelves are empty, he says? Do I send everybody home? Do we try and stay open? I can't pay people if we aren't selling anything, says Lathrop, who expects to become one of Washington State's first legal marijuana retailers this week as the state issues its licenses. The state is poised on Monday to become the second after Colorado to receive, or sorry, to allow retail sales of recreational marijuana to adults under a heavily regulated and taxed system that voters approved on November of 2012. Why'd it take him so long? 2012 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Stores could open operations as early as Tuesday, with up to 20 expected to open statewide. While Colorado, where regulated retail sales rolled out fairly smoothly in January, is collecting millions of dollars in tax revenue every month, Washington has charted a glacial and more halting path to market. They're being a little more cautious up there.
Yeah, right.
Because they produced Alice in Chains, and they don't want them to have a problem. I mean, if you wanted, Brian, right now, on like the end of the show, you could just hop downtown and grab something, right?
I could. Well, I'd potentially cost Tina her job, but yes, I could do that.
Yeah, you're not. But you guys aren't.
Because it'd still be federally illegal. It's state legal, but it's federally illegal.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
That's
it's
weird.
Like, it's like the two just can't agree.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, we're just going to go ahead and let you do this, but if we at any point decide we want you to do this,
yeah.
Then...
yeah, exactly. Oh, you're having tea, sitting next to an FBI guy? Oh, he can arrest you anyway? Okay, great.
Right,
sounds
exactly.
Good. Yeah.
But no, I saw in the news that they actually did open shops in Seattle this morning. So,
all right.
Shortage on pot, but they did prepare and buy a surplus of Cheetos, and who knows how long those will last in the grocery store shelves. So,
Don Cheeto brand?
Don Cheeto.
Boy, Don Cheeto got a lot of play over the weekend.
He did, and Dermot McRolney.
McRolney, yeah.
Both got lots of attention this weekend.
You know, that says something about TMS's, TMS becoming kind of the tree trunk to everything.
The juggernaut, the flagship.
Yeah, flagship, because there were lots of these references everywhere. You know?
There were fewer people there this time that you know, I said, hey, what shows do you enjoy on the network? And by the way, when I ask that, or I ask, hey, what was your favorite thing this weekend? I'm not fishing for people to say Coverville for a podcast and All Stars for
not.
I was getting a little ribbing from Patrick and Scott Fletcher, because people were coming through the line for me to sign stuff and say, hey, what was your favorite thing you saw this weekend? And sure, okay, quite a few of them said Frog Pants All Stars. Yeah. That's not what I was going for.
No. We know you weren't asking for that.
But anyway, there are more people there saying, oh, yeah, you know, I started listening from TMS. Somebody recommended that we start listening, and we're hooked. We're big fans. We're discovering the other shows on that network. Whereas 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was all The Instance. It was like, I started listening to The Instance. I think we've started listening to your show. It's pretty good. All right, cool.
Yeah. No, there's definitely been a shift toward that, or at the very least, it's just sort of permeating everything else, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're happy
sure.
about that. We're also happy our friends of HelloFresh are back and sponsoring
Yay!
The show this entire week. You can go to HelloFresh.com. That's what that yogurt milk was. That was HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com. They make cooking fun again, as you may all already know. And if you haven't checked lately, check again and see if they deliver in your area. If they do, you'll get chefs created. Delicious recipes, all those ingredients sent straight to your door. You get to pick what you want, and in 30 minutes or less, it's there on the table, and you're freaking eating it. The code is MORNINGSTREAM for checkout. When you do that, use that code at checkout. You get 50% off for your first-time order at HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com. Check them out today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
It's another shocking revelation about Cyclops' past in this week's chapter. The Queen Crab has taken matters into her own hands, and Cyclops is at the mercy of her mind-controlled crustaceans. Don't miss the excitement at cyclopscomics.com. That's S-E-A-Clops, C-L-O-P-S, comics.com.
The Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Pink Floyd to release its first new album since 1994.
Whoa.
The 70s rock band known for its lush musical textures and meditative talk on existence. What? Whatever. is working on its new album in 2 decades. The wow, that was 2 decades ago. Let's stop and think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
My daughter was born that
delicate
year.
Delicate sound of, no, what was it? It's the Mission Bell, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right?
I think so, yeah.
What was the one that came out before that that had...
Pulse?
Is it Pulse? Where it was like a beach with a bunch of like hospital beds on it.
Oh. Oh, no, that was like, that was a greatest hits thing. I think that was...
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of something else. Pink Floyd. Oh,
there we go. The Division Bell was the last one.
Albums.
Hold on, where's discography?
Oh, I'm thinking of A Momentary Lapse of Reason, 1987 is what I'm thinking of.
Yes. That had
one amazing song on it.
Learning to Fly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing song.
Yeah.
The rest of it,
that's right. I'm thinking of
that was out without
collection
Roger
of what was it? It was where's their greatest hits? It's like there's the EP, the regular albums.
Uh-huh.
Let's actually find compilation albums. That's the one.
Division
a collection
Bell?
Of great dance songs. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
But that wasn't on a beach. That was people dancing in a field.
So Division Bell. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
That was their last one.
Yep, and Pulse was incredible.
That had Waters back, right? He came back to do that, I think.
I think so, yeah.
They were fighting during Momentary Lapse. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was all, what's his name? Jimmy John.
David Gilmore.
Yes, David Gilmore.
Yeah.
Whose voice I prefer, but I like the when they work together.
You know, I can't say I prefer either one. I think David Gilmore has a more traditional singing voice, but hearing Pink Floyd without the two of their voices, I think is blasphemy.
I kind of agree. They need to be in the same team there.
Yeah.
But you know, when he comes out with the Comfortably Numb part of the Comfortably Numb
mm-hmm.
song,
mm-hmm.
that's just special. You know,
there is no pain you are receiving.
He was like, it was bad to separate those two dudes. Get them. I think they're all back together for this. Or did someone die? I don't remember now.
I don't know. Let's see here.
I'm really cool with this, though. I'm totally down with them doing something new.
I think everybody's still alive from their heyday.
Mommy.
I don't know. I mean, because it's saying it's listing Roger Waters as a past member, so I don't even know if this...
Roger Waters is dead?
Is No.
Okay.
No, but if... obviously Sid Barrett. Yes, Sid Barrett died, of course.
Right.
Richard Wright died, too. I didn't know that.
Oh. I forgot Richard Dyke was in the band.
Let's see. Endless River. I'm looking really quickly here to see if...
Freaking Google's down for me for some reason.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, it doesn't say whether or not Roger Waters...
Sometimes Google's weird for me.
It does not look like Roger Waters is going to be involved with this at all.
Well, then screw that.
Nope.
I'm not excited anymore. The album comes out in October. It's
Gilmore
called
Mason or Gilmore Mason, and then I guess because it's old recordings, unreleased recordings, it will feature Richard Wright on that.
Oh, all right. So it's old 94 sessions stuff. They say.
Mm-hmm.
It's Endless River. It's called The Endless River. And Pink Floyd achieved worldwide fame. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, moving on. Harry Styles, you know him.
Oh, He's Harry Styles
from the One Direction. You know.
Right.
America, the world's favorite British boy band, has favorited a very not safe for work tweet, and the internet reacted accordingly. Harry Styles, which is, that could be a better rap name than it is a real name, don't you
Harry
think?
Harry Styles. Yeah. By the way, am I sounding okay?
Sound great.
Your voice just got a little crusty on my side of things. Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. No, I think I'm
okay.
I'm checking mine. Let me check. I'm not backing anything up. Harry Styles' official Twitter only had 10 favorite tweets in the past, maybe because One Direction heartthrob probably should have considered this before making it so easy for fans to discover a recently favored pornographic tweet. On Sunday night, young girls across the country exploded in a jealous rage after realizing Styles or someone on his account purposely or accidentally favorited a very not safe for work tweet not long after. Fans begged Styles not to obey his favorited tweet's naughty request. And I'll leave it at that, folks.
Oh, no.
Way to go, Harry.
You favorite some boobies and that was it?
You little porny perv. No, I don't. I didn't even try to go down the rabbit hole of what he did because they don't say in this article, and I didn't go further than that. But it's something. I guess it was something pretty gnarly.
Harry, don't lick, and the and hashtag Harry don't lick anything.
No, okay,
has begun trending on Twitter. So I don't know what that even means.
I don't either. I'm terrified. I don't want to know. Hey, Harry, don't lick anything, buddy. Stay away from that. That's going to do it for that. Let us take a break. When we come back, we got the Fitness Geek. We got the Jury Duty. They'll be back. They were just here Friday. They'll be back again. And some emails after that and some other stuff. But before we get to that, let's do some music.
All right. So this one is going out to E Hong. By the way, Les is probably heading out to start driving here pretty soon. So we'll say goodbye to Les, but wish him luck. He's basically one third of the way back to Tennessee. He's a big long drive yesterday from Vegas to here, and then here to like Kansas City, somewhere like that today.
He is a dedicated SOB.
He is, yes. So thank you, Les, for coming along, and thanks for helping me get those boxes out here.
It was actually my pleasure.
Cool.
Less is more, I say.
I agree.
If I had a nickel, Scott Johnson.
Well, don't take any Canadian ones. You'll know them because they'll have holes in it.
Right, exactly.
Have a safe trip, man. Tennessee's great, except for all the meth.
That says that on the license plates. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, this is the best place ever, except for all the meth. Is that Kentucky? I mean, maybe
I think you're thinking Kentucky. Yeah.
All right. Well,
no, we have a meth problem.
You think of them Crowder boys.
Oh, the Crowd, yeah, up in the hollers. Got it.
Or the Crows, Dewey Crow and company.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, Les, safe travels, man. Be careful.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Don't run over any, I don't know, deer and stuff.
Deer, yeah. Don't hit any deer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We'll avoid the deer.
All right. Or landmines or whatever we got. I don't know what's in Tennessee anymore these days. I know you got Johnny Knoxville. He's there, isn't he? He's doing stuff because his name is Johnny Knoxville.
Is that just because his name is Knoxville that you made that connection?
I actually don't know where he's from. I'm pretty sure he is from Tennessee, to be honest. I don't know. Whatever. He's a jackass. It's in your hands. What are we doing here?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So E Hong wrote in, said, "Hey, Brian, I love you on TMS. Your jokes are very clever and funny. My girlfriend Melissa's birthday is on July 1st. We've been together for 8 happy years. She's beautiful and sweet. I love watching Battlestar Galactica and taking workout classes with her. Are there any good covers of Backstreet Boys or NSYNC? If not, she also likes other 90s pop songs. Thank you for sharing your wonderful personality to the world, E Hong." Cool, man. Thanks for sending that in. Yeah. And, of course, there's some great covers of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. We're going to play one right now. One of my favorite German rockabilly bands. I can't believe I have to have a set of favorite German rockabilly bands. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites is a band called The Baseballs. And on their 2011 album, Strings and Stripes, they included this great cover of the Backstreet Boys' Quit Playing Games. Going out to E Hong and Melissa, here are The Baseballs and Quit Playing Games.
Quick note about 90s. Wayne's World,
yeah,
does not hold up.
Really,
it is kind of.
I am
awful.
Not surprised. Yeah,
it is kind of terrible. I mean,
maybe
are moments.
Wayne's World 2 should be on the film sack list,
probably, or maybe not. It's just bad.
It's horrendous.
I wish it was good. It's poo. I don't know what happened there. I thought it was great when I watched it back in '92 or whatever, but it's not good at all.
Oh,
here you go. It's Quit Playing Games. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
In my heart, I see you're not being true to me. Deep within my soul, I feel nothing's like it used to be. Sometimes I wish I could turn back time. When possible, as it may seem, but I wish I could so bad, baby. Quit playing games with my heart. I should have known from the start. You know you got to stop. My heart, quit playing games with my heart. I live
you're coming back to me. Everything I do is for you. So what is it that you can see?
Sometimes I wish I could turn back time. Impossible as it may seem, but I wish I could.
Wish I could
so bad,
so bad.
Baby, you better
quit playing games with my heart.
It is blasphemy. You are forbidden. The punishment is death.
This is the Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
And we're back. Boy, as German rockabilly goes, that was some of it right there. I liked it, actually. That was good.
Yeah.
Very Elvis-y, the voice, the
yeah,
vocals.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
is that the hallmark of rockabilly? I mean, is that kind of the deal?
No, it doesn't have to be. I mean, you know, Brian Setzer doesn't sound like Elvis. He sounds like Brian Setzer, but
well, that's true. His is more big band swing kind of.
Well, it is now, but I mean, hey, the Stray Cats were as rockabilly as you get.
That's true.
He's kind of moved into that big band swing stuff, but there's still enough rockabilly. Plus, I mean, there was that. Haze period between what he's doing now, the Brian Setzer Orchestra stuff, and then the early Brian Setzer Orchestra stuff, which was, I think, it was orchestral rockabilly.
And he's still kicking it, right? Still got stuff to do. Words to say and things to do.
Hell yeah.
Well, good for him.
Good man, that Brian Setzer.
Yeah, I like him. Mm-hmm. Let's see if our cosplay master is around so he can talk to us about stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Because he was at Nerdtacular and he had a good time. And
he did.
He judged people's cosplay.
And holy cow, did he?
Did he ever? You'll agree.
Yeah. You will agree.
It's Bill Duran on the line. Bill, hello.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. You know who I think had the most fun at Nerdtacular?
Who?
It was a toss-up, but I think Scott Fletcher had the most.
He always does. What's funny is I'm talking to Scott's wife, and she had said this to Kim, too, a couple of times, that somebody would say, oh, it's so great having Scott here, and glad he's having fun and all this. And she goes, you guys don't even know. This is not him normally. She goes, this is like the opposite of him. He is usually nothing like the Scott Fletcher in the frog pants way that you see him all the time. Very super serious all the time. Very focused, very quiet, very all these things. But he comes to this thing once a year and he just lets his pants down for a few days. And I'm glad that outlet exists for him for whatever reason. You know, this is the place he gets to do it the most, I suppose.
For sure.
Yeah, he did seem like he was having a hell of a time.
Always smiling and just always.
And skateboarding too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and good.
I saw that photo. Yeah, oh my god!
That skateboarding stuff is great. There's some nice video of that going on. And Bill, you were a party and a half, man. Good to have you as always.
Oh, yeah. I did not envy your position to have to judge all those amazing costumes in the contest.
Good stuff this year.
We might do it differently next year.
Oh, yeah?
Talking with my wife, we might do it differently.
Right. Thunderdome? Are they going to have to duel to the death?
Oh, yeah. To the
Who runs Bada Town? That'd be great.
So if there was a bad bottle of yogurt soda, I'm certain that I got it.
Yeah, you were in the same bottle as us, I think. I think they didn't actually start the bad stir.
Such a thing as a good bottle of yogurt soda?
I think that we all used that first bottle until it got past Nicole. So I think it was just Tom and Wendy who got the okay one.
And Jury, I think, got the okay one too because he was sipping on it and I don't think he was complaining.
Oh.
Well, I partied pretty hard the night before at the great Night Attack Smoke Off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Partied a bit. So I wasn't feeling 100% anyway.
Right.
And I sat there clutching that glass of, of gross. But I held it as far away from my face as I could, and I did not even think about putting it near my face.
So you didn't even eat. You didn't even try it.
No.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, that thing had a smell that I could. I was still smelling that in my mustache for hours after, and
I don't know why that's somehow grosser.
I had to go wash my face like immediately
that's
after.
That's grosser than your mustache still smelled like it. Ugh,
you had to
foul.
Save afterwards. Just,
I did, exactly.
That was really, really foul.
The worst, though, and Steven to my right and Jerry to my left both thought it was the best thing ever. The squid, stringy, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. The squid, I'm down with. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Passed in front, maybe it's because I was hungover, but when it passed in front of my face, I almost puked.
Yeah, no, it smells like a swampy old beach that's, post-war freaking Normandy beach smell.
It doesn't smell very good.
It's real, real bad. But my brother used to buy it all the time. In fact, we've tested it on the show before, and I don't remember Brian being a giant fan of it, but you're okay with it, I think, as far as something to taste, but I went all through those bags, and my brother used to get it at the, we used to call it the Oriental store, but that's not cool anymore. So he got it at the Asian market, and we would eat bags of that stuff at my house. And everybody in the house smelled like fish for months. It was just awful.
Oh,
but
terrible. So see, I don't like fish anyway. That's probably my own problem. Yeah,
you are no pescatarian, that's for sure.
No, but I had a cheese curd. That was delightful.
Cheese curds are good. Yeah, we still have a bag of those I'm eating in the fridge there. And I'm trying to be moderate, like one or two a day is all.
Mm-hmm.
By the time, but if I eat at this rate, they'll all be bad in a couple of days. So I got to.
Oh, Jaffa cakes too.
Yeah,
but good news. Throw them in a blender. You got yourself instant soda.
Curd smoothie.
Curd smoothie.
Yeah, that sounds yummy. You know what?
Even better, keep the cheese curds from this year.
Yeah.
Same curds next year. Blend them up. Feed it to your best friends on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Feed it to Hammond Chamberlain for that freaking...
Somebody said they had some new Kit Kats.
I never saw those either. Yeah, no, I didn't. But they told me that too.
Yeah.
I feel robbed. That's okay. Whoever that was, we'll hook you up. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Bill, now that we've all recovered and everybody's home and doing their thing... Do we want to talk about fitness? Like,
everyone's just kind of slowly get back on the horse.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I lost 3 pounds over that weekend. So I've actually gained a pound back already. But when I got back, I weighed it.
I think stress exercise is what we call it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I think I earned your 3 pounds. I think.
Did you?
I did.
It comes off so easy for me when I'm not eating all day, but I'm also running around. I mean, I ate. So here's what I did. This is some good fitness talk right here. So how did Scott eat at the event? Well, here's what I did. I had a big bottle of blueberry kefir with me, which is basically liquid
blueberry
yogurt.
Blueberry kefir?
Yeah, it's liquid yogurt, but not the kind you're thinking of. Exactly. They even told Kim, I go, I haven't enjoyed kefir this month since season 3 of 24. But it's basically just liquid yogurt. It's really all it is.
Okay.
So you can kind of drink it. I don't know if you'd like it because it's kind of a thickened, it's between thickened liquid and yogurt is the,
well,
is the
see that I, because I've had that, not, well, I've had Go-Gurt, but there was another thing that was like a yogurt drink.
Yeah. Like a little bottle, right?
Right,
like
exactly.
A small, you pop the cap off and it'd be like a single serving. You just gulp it down.
Yeah, wasn't Activia? No,
no.
It sounds familiar.
But yeah, it's like that kind You can make your own too, but I haven't done that. I just bought this bottle, so I had that in the morning along with some fruit, half of one of my kids' pancakes and some eggs, but a nice light breakfast that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Got out, did my thing. Lunch, I had a salad. Chicken salad thing down at the Mexican deal during Lunchtacular, right? And then that night had another salad, bigger one. And then that was it. And then I did kind of the same thing the next day. Salad, a couple of salads, dinner and morning, or dinner and noon, and then kind of the same breakfast. So kind of like a really well-rounded, just fine set of meals, you know, all healthy, no junk, and all water all day. Didn't drink any pop or anything weird. And yet I still lost weight. And I think it was just because, you know, the calorie burn was so much more than I was intaking, because, you know, you're just running around and you're constantly, you know, thinking and talking and doing stuff. And so I still lost weight, but I never felt like, oh, I'm not eating enough. Like, I actually felt pretty good most of the event, which is a real change for me. I usually feel kind of crappy the entire time, at least physically, because I'm never eating erratically or something. But this time we were real careful about that. And I just wanted to feel good as much as best I could. And I got to say, of all the Nerdtaculars ever, all eight of them, this, I think, is the best I felt all weekend. So
nicely done.
Yeah. I was happy about that. So
that was a little bit more of a roller coaster.
Yeah. A little up and down. We understand.
Yeah. Well, it's also, too, if you're in a costume that obscures your food hole, you know,
it makes it a little tougher.
Yeah. Like, I guess I'm just going to not eat anything for a while. And then when I take that costume off, I'm going to eat my portion of an entire pizza.
Yeah.
That I did. I didn't overeat too much. It's just indulge just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm glad it's only your food hole that you'd want to expose. The costumes that expose everyone else's holes, I'm not so interested in those. But yeah, I don't know how you do it in that Draugr costume. It's just, that seems like it would be hot, heavy, well, sort of heavy.
It's not that heavy.
But by the end of the day, you're just like, oh my gosh, I've not taken this thing off. Now you got that like a skull underpinning bit that's so rad.
I know.
So cool. Oh my gosh, those things. Those are going to last you forever, dude. You're going to wear those until you die.
Dude, and I saw the crowns for the king and queen of TMS.
Oh, yeah.
Those are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Were they supposed to be there? Or
we were thinking that they would. And
I know Dave needed them either way because he was going to ship them or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they were there, they were undercover. But
yeah.
Oh, I was like a prop-making Santa Claus. I showed up with Pip Boys and crowns and medals and that space gun. I was like running around just handing stuff out.
That was great. It was totally cool. You did an amazing job, and I can't imagine Nerdtacular now without the cosplay effort. Despite it getting, you know, definitely more entries this year. I was worried. I said, hey, are we gonna have less than last year? And you're like, I don't know, we haven't done the thing yet. And then they all come parading out. I'm like, holy crap.
I always feel that way, too, when people are, oh, we'll do the sign-up. Maybe a couple people will show up this year. It's okay if people don't really show up. I feel all right about it. And really, I'd be devastated. But seriously, every year more people show up. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I had one of the fantastic things about doing Nerdtacular, a long list of wonderful things, is having that in-person feedback from people with fitness. So many people came up to me to tell me their personal fitness stories. Mm-hmm. And by the way, for folks who have, like, people are thanking me for doing the segment, that's great. But remember how much effort you put into it. I mean, it's all on you.
Well,
and that's the best part about fitness is when you succeed, it's you doing it. It's you taking it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that was impressive. And I forgot what the total weight loss number was that they...
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah. That was two giant people.
Yeah. I think it was just under a ton, I think. Like 18 something.
It's like a family of five. It's just enormous amount of weight lost by a bunch of people who just were, you know, hearing us on Tuesdays going, yeah, I think maybe I could beef things up a little bit at my own personal fitness or whatever. That's great. That was inspirational for me to hear all that.
We also had tons and tons of people not just for the cosplay contest, but we filled up a room for the panel that we did, which gives me hope that we'll have even more people show up to the contest next year.
I have a feeling you're right about that.
Getting the new people in. We have the room right next to FSL, and I was worried that everyone was just going to go watch that. Because if I had a choice, I'd probably go watch it.
Of course, yeah, FSL is good, you know.
But we had a big room full of people. They all showed up. People, again, telling their stories about, you know, cosplay and getting into the community. And we tried to cheer way louder than the FSL team, and I think we did. I hope they heard us over there.
I was in the third room over. I'm trying to remember what I was seeing over there. Crap.
I think a comic book one or something.
Oh, I was on that one, yeah. So that's why I was in there.
Well, we didn't hear them cheering at all.
No, so. We didn't do any cheering, but we could hear you guys cheering. And I thought we were going to be the low ball, but we had a big room full too. Like everybody spread out. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Even that grumpy cast got like I had a joke with somebody, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I said, oh man, since this is so last minute for those grumpy cast guys, I hope we're not, you know, cannibalizing everybody for their thing. And this person says, it'll give them something to be grumpy about. So even that was positive. And they even had a pretty good sized group show up. So yeah, that's maybe my favorite bit is that there was nothing was so heavily weighted.
Yeah.
In terms of one preference or another, and everybody kind of got some good stage time, and I don't know, just all everything worked out really well this year. Just everything did.
I tell you what, it's pretty amazing because you can do what I do and make crap in your basement,
mm-hmm.
kind of isolated, or every week talking to this silly microphone thing. And as far as I'm concerned, it's just the three of us. So
sure.
Just do that until you go to Nerdtacular and you realize you're actually kind of making an impact on people's lives.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
That part is very humbling. It always is. And someone comes up and says, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have done this without this, or I was on the verge of suicide, and then your show made me laugh, and it changed my way I think, and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And you hear these stories, endless stories like this, and you go, yeah, but I'm just getting up, and sometimes I'm not even showering, and I'm just plopping down here and telling Brian that song was cool. Like, I don't know what we're doing half the time, but apparently it's working.
Today. Well, I'll tell you what. I promise everyone that I will double my efforts, too. You guys fuel my need to help.
Yeah, it got me all recharged, too. It got me excited.
Yeah, for sure.
For lots of things. So.
This refills the tank for another 363 days, you know?
Refill tank girl. Yep, exactly.
I'll tell you what, too. And I want to especially thank, you know, the Frog Pants producers, you guys, all those fine folks that we jammed into that photo there.
Oh, yeah.
That was something. I mean, all people I look up to, all people I've looked up to for a very, very long time who have been just helpful and sharing what they do and supportive and inspiring.
Sure.
Just how amazing is that group of people?
Pretty incredible. The best part about that is you say people you've looked up to for years, and in that photo you are looking down on them all, which is fantastic because you're way up high above everything.
I don't know if you guys know this. I've been hiding my height forever. I'm actually 7'5".
Ah, I got it.
Yeah.
That guy that walked in on the stilts that also played the Murloc.
Ryan Johnson.
He scared the hell out of me because at first I thought that was the guy that actually that tall. Because my kids had said, dude, there's a tall guy that wants to talk to you. And I'm like, no way, look at that. But then I realized who it was and went, he's just wearing stilts.
Yep.
Yeah, his Murloc costume was amazing. It was my favorite
thing,
the whole thing.
Extraordinary, yeah.
Really good. Freaky, kind of, in a weird way.
I don't think there's anyone who is as enthusiastic about it as Ryan is.
Yeah. To just sort of cap off what you said, I just don't know. From top to bottom, it just felt charmed this year. And, you know, getting those Blizzard guys and Christian Narn and even Terpster to do all that stuff for my intro.
Yeah.
My daughter's animation. Oh, God, all that stuff just so fun.
That Greg Street audio call-in message was fantastic.
It was pretty good, right? Yeah. And they were all so nice to do it. And you know, Chris Metzen was on vacation. He did it. He says, hell yeah, I do that. I wanted to come. And he almost did. They were inches from coming in this year. And just we had conflicted with a thing they'd had planned for 2 years at some trip they were doing. And so we couldn't do it. But
yeah,
they're committed for next year. So, yeah,
awesome.
All fun, all good.
You guys keep raising the bar.
That's right, Bill. Yep. You keep putting weights on the two sides of that bar and pushing it up.
Yeah.
And we'll lower the bar and we'll raise it again. We'll lower the bar and raise it again.
That's right. That's how we roll. Dude, it's always a pleasure. It's punishprops.com, Chimbeard on Twitter, all kinds of cool stuff going on. Make sure you follow him. And looking forward to September when Bill and I will have a shared booth at Comic-Con Salt Lake City.
September. You get to smell me for an entire weekend.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
I might have to make a trip out there, too.
Do it.
Drug or sweat.
Bring some CDs.
I am sure all of this could be arranged. So let's we'll put our heads together and figure it out after another week or so of I think you should fly. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Stay out of trouble. We'll see you next time.
Toodaloo.
Bye now.
See ya. Yeah, there are no deer in the air that you have to worry about.
No. Well, no. Do you still worry about birds flying into stuff? That still happens, all right.
I think every once in a while, yeah. Mm.
On occasion.
You don't hear about it as much, isn't that? But that's what happened with Captain Sully, right? When he landed in the Hudson River.
Oh, right. No, you're right about that. He went on all the talk shows and talking about how cool he was or whatever. And
yeah.
Well, I guess he wasn't talking about how cool he was, but he was.
Yeah, he talks about it. Dude, I'm the best.
I'm so cool.
I'm rad.
I'm so rad.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Returning triumphantly from a weekend of debauchery, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Robert Young.
That's what happens, right? You roll out to Salt Lake City, and you know what happens in the valley stays in the valley.
That's
in
right.
The mountains, as it were.
Yeah, I guess we were in the mountains. You know what? I mean, you and I talked a lot at the thing, had some nice quiet moments sitting together in panels and just sort of chatting and enjoying one another's company. But I guess
there was a lot of really stress-free. connection moments while the trivia contest was going on, and we had extended the lead so far that we mathematically couldn't lose.
Yeah, and there was one point where because we couldn't lose and we hit the number 42,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Justin leans to all of us and says, basically, let's not put any more points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed, but I had a twitch once and hit the button and got it wrong, gladfully, but I just couldn't help it because I thought I knew it. But yeah, we were able to still hit the 42. And
that's when I just decided to just Kathy Bates the rest of the question.
Kathy Bates because the whole
I couldn't trust anybody to not buzz in and just get one right because they're natural born winners, Brian.
That's right. That's right. That was so fun, though. My gosh.
And it was a much better, as Dills put it, a much better BM than what he did, which is just basically, well, let's just not answer anything.
Yeah. Let's just sit there. But I mean, not to get, I want to give credit where credit is duly due here. Justin was the ringer, man. You just, with the trivia come pouring out of you like vomit. That was amazing. I didn't expect it.
Vomit after yogurt soda. It was just, it was there to be had.
Yeah. You were good, though. I mean, you were answering everything. Like, just, you knew answers to all sorts of things. And not only that, even if everyone else knew them, you were Johnny on the button there. To the point that when the other team all thinks their buzzers don't work, that's always mm-hmm. when you know you got the hot dude on your team.
And there was one point at which the double click said, could you test this for me again? I don't think these are working.
Yeah, so they all did. At one point, what's his name, just hit it randomly. Dills, he's like, is this damn thing working? I'm like, yes. It's not like Justin's got, you know, fiber over here while you're all on DSL or something. So anyway, it was we bantered on all day about this, but it was fantastic. You were a huge part of
it. That was great. It's amazing to compare my experience of 2 years ago's trivia contest versus this one, where like I was just trying to beg, borrow, and steal an answer in 2 years ago, and I always felt that there was somebody else who had like the hot buzzer. And this time it was just a lot of stuff in my wheelhouse. I don't know what it was. Like it was just a lot of, we just stayed away from the areas I don't know a lot about. And then I was just apparently a savant at that, the two movies that have the same.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. You, I think you practically swept the second day on that.
Yep.
Well, I think it's just because I've watched so many trailers. I feel like that's like, it's not like I've seen half those movies. Like, it's just that I know enough about like, the Katie Holmes was in Finding Liberty. Like, I don't think I got that one right, but like, yeah.
No, that one you did get right. And knowing, you know, Red Planet versus Mission to Mars, I mean, I couldn't even tell you.
I don't know the difference now.
Before I wrote
now.
That question, I couldn't even tell you like who was in either one of those.
Gary Sinise is in one of those.
Yeah. Mission to Mars, I believe, is the one with Ice Cube and Courtney Love.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of into that idea. I've never seen it.
But it was also at the beginning. It was way ahead of its time. In the number, I think it was mission number 2 Mars.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, whatever.
That's a whole straight out of Compton, if you know what I'm saying.
Still never putting the in movie poster taboo, I'm still never putting the damn production company or the studio
as
one of the taboo words. Say Paramount, say Disney, whatever you want. I don't think it helps.
All right, so
when you say Poppins.
When is that going up, Scott?
The audio version will be going up this week. The video, I'm just waiting to hear back from the UAT guys to get it back.
Yeah.
So,
you got to see it in video. There's no point in audio.
Yeah. We usually do anyway. It's fun. Someone somewhere likes that.
But Disney does nothing to add to Poppins. If you hear Poppins.
Well, and it's like, all right, so one of them was Saving Mr. Banks. And then, like, on top of that, we had like last year and then this year we had like a Batman and a Superman movie where Batman and Superman were not
the
like
words Batman. Batman. So here's what I told a couple people about this, but here's what I do. So I had we had 36 movie posters for this one, 12 per game, so 6 for each team. And so what I did is I put them all in a big light box online, like in Keynote, so I could see all 36 of them. And then I started organizing them to say, okay, this can be done with one word. This can be done in, you know, Superman, this one over here. And then the next line down was the difficult ones, the August Osage County.
The Philomenas of the world.
The Philomena, the blue jasmine.
Yeah, or things with yellow in them. Good Lord.
Exactly. Yeah. And I put those in a row and divided those all up between the six. And then I took the other ones and kind of said, all right, well, this one is about as easy as this one is about as easy as this one. And just made sure that I think that's actually, of all the games, that's actually the one I feel the most comfortable about, the fairness of between teams. I don't think there's, you know, for every August Osage County, there's going to be a Man of Steel where you can say the freaking word Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that you got Hobbit, the Superman one, and the I couldn't believe I got Saving Mr. Banks because I could not for my life remember that. And I mean, my brain seriously did three
way
flips
to pull
before
that,
I got
way
it.
To pull that out. Yes.
Yeah, I just about had an aneurysm doing that. But,
and I'm still amazed that no one pulls out the singing a word. So like for Frozen, you know, nobody went animated.
Yeah, but isn't that, like that. Oh, I see. Right. Because it still can only be a word, but you can inflect it any way you want to.
Right. You just can't do schmango schmun change as a word or any part of it.
Right.
That's why I took tornado out. Or I just put anything with a NATO in it for Sharknado. Because
I was actually, if it had gotten to me, my word was going to be Squidicane.
all the Scrabble players that have just called foul and thrown yellow cards.
Yeah,
at that point.
I don't know if I would have been able to allow that.
Squidicane. That sounds like really cheap East Asian drugs. Squidicane.
Or something that when you get a bite or a sting from a squid, something you rub on your leg.
Oh yeah, a little squidicane. Oh, that'll get it right out. Yeah, take out the redness with squidicane.
So I have some news.
Oh, great. Hold on. You got news?
I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a trained journalist. I have journalist training, and I'm breaking news here for you guys.
This just in, everybody. Go.
Two contestants in this weekend's Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars spent time together going over 50 movie posters. Developing trigger words.
No way.
What?
Really?
Really?
Yes.
This is like a doping scandal. Hold on.
Settling on trigger words for all of them.
Oh my God.
My gosh. Okay, let me guess. Yeah. I want to guess.
If you don't get it in one guess,
all right,
then I'm just going to tell you. You should be able, it should be your first guess.
Brian Brushwood.
Yeah.
It's Brian Brushwood and Veronica Belmont.
Well, duh. Of course it is.
Dude, Schwood is one of my favorite competitive people in the world.
Having those two on the same team.
My gosh. Half of Night Attack was him explaining how he was hosed by the contest or something. I'm standing there going,
let's go back and listen to that too.
Veronica was the one far more angry about it.
Oh, she was... It's sometimes, you know, it's all in fun, I know, but boy, there are sometimes that you want, does she really mean this?
Is she going to shank you? Is she going to have a homemade fork and just jam it into your neck when you're not looking?
Is she going to cut a guy?
For what I've known of Veronica, she's an extraordinarily sweet person.
Very.
In that moment, you're probably, are actually in harm.
I was in danger.
Your life is at risk at that point. And she really is. It's funny. She's so sweet. And she even says to me at some point, she goes, why is everyone thinking I'm going to be so angry all the time? And I said, because when you're losing, you're really, really angry. And she says, oh, well, okay, I guess.
Within the first minute of the game, she was hitting people on her own team.
Yeah, slugging them. Hit him in the arm as hard as you can. But this has been a long tradition, Brian, since 2011.
Yes.
Has she done so on stage?
And that's, and I would not want to have a Frog Pants All-Stars game without her.
No, it'd be dumb. We'd just give up. The whole thing would just end. So, yeah, that's all good. But I did not know that's quite the conspiracy that those two... It no didn't kidding. Seem to help him much.
I really did like the format. I think the format this year was an improvement over last year to make the final, like the next day's version of it felt so much bigger than last year's, where it was basically just like an exhibition.
Same size. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I mean about saying it earlier.
I had to pay a bunch of money to play the game and then be like, oh, well, you just got your ass kicked. Yeah.
That's what was fun about the top. I mean, we talked about the top of the show, but the fun bit for me this year was just, it felt like a real, as much as it's still just in good fun and games and the Silver Fox is a stupid trophy and all that stuff, it just felt like a more epic kind of thing with these semifinals and then these finals. And it just, I don't know, it felt more like a damn sport. And that was great. So
and it gave a better chance to make heroes out of some of the some of the people who bought the spots on.
Okay. You know? No kidding.
Yeah.
Craig. Adam.
The legend of Craig.
Yeah,
Brandon.
Craig owned it. I keep saying Greg. I know it's Craig when I keep saying Greg.
And Brian, four guys that were.
And Adam was great, man.
Adam was great.
At one point, he exploded with Lord of the Rings trivia that made both Justin and I roll our eyes.
Yes.
Yep. He knew everything. That guy was truly, he has my axe and your bow. So anyway.
All right, let me ask you guys just one more particular question.
Yeah.
Sure. What is most likely to change between this Nerdtacular and next Nerdtacular? Now that you're at the end, you're like, in your mind is fresh, kind of things that you really liked, what happened, things that you didn't
across
like,
the board.
That you like want to twist. I assume probably, Brian, at the end of last Nerdtacular, you probably were thinking, you know, we should just have people like get spots on the team.
Right, as opposed to an entire team. Yep, exactly. And I wanted more teams so that there were, like, Nicole got left out kind of last year, and quite a few people got left out. And I wanted more people to get a chance to play, so that was the four team addition.
So what would be that for next year? What's on the tip of both of your minds in terms of changing something for next year?
Oh my gosh! I mean, if you get down to specifics, like what would you do different with All Stars, or in my case, you know, a
everything
live TMS
else
or something else? Yes. I mean, we've not done our like kind of follow up. We always do this follow up sort of post-mortem and just kind of go over everything. This is the biggest challenge this year, because last year or the year before that or any of the 8 years, if you'd asked me, I'd have, you know, three or four specific examples. I am having a really hard time coming up with what I think needed some big improvement. That's the hard bit this year, is figuring out how to make it somehow better. And I know there's ways and there'll be great ideas and there's creative stuff to be done, but I just don't have any complaints this year about anything. Everybody was awesome. All things went great. I felt better than I felt at any Nerdtacular before. There was less stress. There was more fun. There was just, it just felt like a big ass success. And
more weddings.
Well, let's see, last year,
we could have done
a few more weddings, I suppose. But nobody got me to do a wedding, which I thought it was going to happen now that I have that card that Tom and I, either Tom or I could have performed weddings this weekend, I guess.
Right. Tom only performs wedding for Techzilla hosts.
No, that's right. I forgot. He's running out. We just got to get Darren to get married. Is Darren married? Maybe Darren's already married. I don't know. But
for me, it would really just be, so one section of the game was sent in by a friend of mine, the guy that I go to trivia every year with in August in Vegas. And I did not fact check any of his stuff, or spell check any of his stuff for that matter.
Yeah.
And that was the sticking point for a couple of issues. And
which ones?
Like the
Watchmen question came into
the one that you brought up, the Minutemen versus the Watchmen thing.
Right. There was a typo on the Lord of the Rings, on the Justice League, he didn't have Martian Manhunter.
That had New Goblin.
Yeah, New Goblin, yes. Old Goblin, yeah.
Get out of my face with him.
And didn't have Rhino on there. Yeah. Had New Goblin, but didn't have Rhino. He had, and he's a great guy. This is not besmirching him.
No, of course.
No, I am. Exactly. Get your head on straight. What the hell are you talking about? New Goblin. New Goblin was a part of the Sinister Six.
I love it.
This is true, but that one is on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yes. No, if you need to differentiate the roles of two people who play the same character, then yes, you would write that.
Right. You would say Green Goblin versus New Goblin.
Yeah, New Goblin. I totally get that. Yeah. DiCaprio Goblin, I like to call the new guy. He looks like he looks like Gilbert Grape or whatever the hell that movie was. Little things like that. Like there are lots of little minor things, but none of it. I mean, just holy shit.
But no big thing. So previously in all the other years, you've come out and been like, oh, we definitely got to change this, and we definitely got to change that.
Sure,
never been bad, but there's been identifiable elements that you can improve.
Yeah, like more signing time, or we need signing tables near the bay, or let's move the swag stuff down in the right by the ballroom. That was a brilliant move by Dave. Like things like that, we've always had in the past. But I would argue this is a bigger challenge because now I'm terrified as to what I can do to make it even better, and I don't know what to do.
I don't think anybody would be disappointed if in future years it was as good as it was.
No, absolutely. I don't want to put too much undue pressure on my brain to say
it doesn't have to be this last weekend plus one. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's this last weekend was I consider it to be a 10 out of 10. Yeah. So
the big pressure every time is to make this decision as to whether or not you open the floodgates to more bodies. And we always err on the side of, let's be conservative with this, because half the reason this is rad is the concentrated awesome of a smaller number of people and not having to deal with thousands of people where you start to have pockets of anonymity. And you know, that's when the weirdness can begin for a convention. And this just felt like kind of utopic. Is that a word? Utopic? Yeah, utopic.
Yeah, utopia.
Utopia-like. Topiary. It felt like a topiary is what I'm trying to say.
It felt very lush.
Lush topiary, exactly. So I don't know. It's a challenging question. We typically don't even have an idea of what the hell's for sure happening until fall. But we'll know and we'll figure it out and it'll be rad. And, you know, a huge part of it is who comes and who, aka, you know, for lack of a better term, performs or... you know, does stuff and Justin, you're a rad piece of this pie now. We totally dig what you bring.
I love it. It was so fun, man. And it was one of those things where like it was really a big deal for Brian too. You know, Brian's out doing this big, he's on a really high pressure vacation right now in LA. And I think leading up to that, he really like, I was talking to him yesterday and he was like, you know, he was in this great mood. And he's like, everything kind of like flipped as soon as we did Night Attack. And that episode of Night Attack that we did was just so electric. And we just spent a ton of time, you know, signing shirts and everything at the end. And then we just like had maybe eight people and we just held court until like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was super, super fun.
Yeah. And that's got to be good for him and just that energy he feeds off of. I feel like those are his people. Those are his batteries. And that had to send him back to LA in a pretty good zone.
Yeah. Yes, and it's too bad he had to leave early because he had to leave right after the panel I was on.
He did. It was for the best. His biggest worry was blowing out his voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so like, he was, and Brian, as somebody who frequents Vegas, he was somebody who just like could not wait until he was like, all right, he was mathematically over and it's like, just cash out his chips and right.
get the hell out of there.
The table. Not that he wouldn't, he doesn't think that he could make more money. It's just, he knows that this is the limit. He can now go and cash everything in and come out with a profit. And that's what he did.
Yeah. How far is the car? Where are my keys? I don't have to say goodbye to the hooker. It's the Vegas thing really works. I like it. Well, it was rad. We had a ball and I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Certainly so. You know, it was, it is nothing short of like probably one of my favorite things to do every year now, you know, and to have the experience that we had this year where, you know, like it's rare where like me and Ashley can kind of have super similar experiences and everything.
Right,
and it's like when there's this weird cross section where like you don't know where just genuine friendship, if there is a border between like just being friends with everybody and then whatever this kind of low grade brand X internet fame thing is, you know, like there's no differentiation between the two of them. And now people that we would love that if they came into San Francisco, we would love to hang out with them and go out to dinner and have them stay at the house. Like and somebody you just met that randomly is like, oh my God, I love Spiro and the Fudge on the Weird Things podcast. Like,
yeah,
that's amazing.
It like, is. It, yeah.
Something
it is.
So yeah. Unique. And then the problem is it's hard to describe to other people because
nobody gets it. They don't get it. Because unless they're there, they get it if they're there, or if they do this long enough with us, I suppose they start to get it. But it is very, very hard to describe to anybody. It's hard for me to, it was hard for us to describe to the Double Clicks just exactly what kind of venue this mm-hmm. is and what kind of group this is. But as always, just like once with Paul and Storm and just like with anybody else we've had, they get there and they go, oh, these are like our people. This is perfect.
And you know? They remarked to me, they go to a lot of cons, they do a lot of performances, go to a lot of stuff like this. Angela told me that she's never seen a ratio of women to men at any other con like this. Usually, and she's like, yeah, you know, you walk in and it's 298 dudes and two women in Harley Quinn and Catwoman cosplay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's definitely this a flip. One,
like, there were multiple ladies who dragged their dudes.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, tons.
How many times has that happened at a conference? Like,
exactly.
It is a song as old as time. The guy dragging his patient girlfriend to whatever horse poop. But like, there were like two or three chicks that I met that like, you know, either like at the signing table or just randomly that were like, oh my God, like I finally got my, I guess because apparently also I got a lot of this because like Night Attack is like the way that like the jaded boyfriend who's not necessarily into like Warcraft or, sure. or anything else. Like, it's like, oh, like he was like okay with a lot of other panels. Then we went to Night Attack and he was like, oh my God, this is great. Mm-hmm. But it's like the fact that chicks are bringing their dudes to the event is just amazing.
Yeah. That there was a bunch of that, like husbands that just were like, you could see it in their face. Like they were like, I don't know what this is yet. The first day or whatever. And the lady's like, I listen to your show every day. I make him do it too sometimes, but I knew if we brought him here, like, I'm like, man, this is weird. What year are we in? I thought we were still stuck in the days of, only dudes are into this and they drag their girlfriends and wives. So to see that many women, to see that many girls come and all those rad kids, I just love that part of it. Love that part.
That's a whole nother. Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that there were so many kids and yet there wasn't like the story of the panel that got ruined because of the crying baby
the
out of control kid, you know, and that's like a minor miracle in and of itself. Like just, In I mean, not to say that, you know, like kids that are well behaved sometimes can just like, you know, take away from the experience of everybody else, or a baby's a baby because it cries, you know,
right,
like
right. And we didn't have any of that. They were everybody's cute as a button. Everybody's respectful. All these little kids come up and say thank you when you give them something. And mm-hmm. I guess that's just as high praise for the caliber of people that come. And, you know,
apparently, you know, there was a scavenger hunt for the kids.
There was. I heard about this
scavenger hunt. Yeah. And one of them. The things you had to do was go come up to me and say, you've been in my house.
What?
Really?
What the heck? I had not heard about that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there was one that was, and like, and so somebody, an adorable little girl came up and said that, except like I had actually been in her house because her father is a fan of NSFW, then NSFW, now Night Attack.
Yeah.
And like I did a show from their house in Phoenix. So it's like I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently the rest of the kids didn't want to walk up to Treebeard and you know, engage
him. That's so funny. Yeah, that's what I love, though. I keep hearing these little anecdotes about what was going on that I didn't see or whatever, and it all just pleases me. Again, there was no altercations or apart or there weren't even babies. Babies have the right to cry loud. They didn't do any of that. Like they were the sweetest little babies crawling all over everybody. Everybody wanted to hold them. Veronica's getting her mom going on, walked away saying my ovaries hurt, you know? Like that stuff's great. I love that kind of.
If yogurt soda is the worst thing that happened over the weekend,
that's the truth.
Then this was a great
night. I mean, the truth. Really, the only thing is you know, you kind of wish like it would have went longer, right? Like, yeah, you know, yeah. And that's, of course, like kind of the same instinct that makes you want to have that second bowl of cereal, which is never as good as the first bowl. But
right. Yeah. No, in fact, that's even perfect because when you leave wishing more,
yeah,
that's better than because I don't think there's ever a just right feeling when it comes to this sort of thing. So even that was right to have that sort of feeling of, oh, melancholy. We all got to go now. And now, you know, usually I'm so worn out. I'm like, whew, good thing we're the last day, you know. Like, that's kind of usually how I usually feel.
But you saved your powder a little bit, right, Scott?
I really did. Yeah, really did. This time, I don't know, just whatever reason, my own stressy anxiety guy levels just all kind of faded away after I got on stage. We pulled TMS off and the rest of it just became kind of gravy.
Well, I think the fact that you weren't doing that, like you weren't doing nine panels.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Because that was one of those things where, like, I didn't realize until I kind of got into the thick of it. And a lot of it was me putting stuff on my own plate. But it's like that Friday, I think me and Tom realized that we were both, there was never a time in official programming that you could not see Justin or Tom.
Yeah, we were all over the place.
And usually together.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had I had eight things like on the docket. So I was effectively with like a pocket of an hour here or an hour there, like on stage doing stuff for the entire time or rehearsing or something like that.
Yeah.
And I can totally understand where, because I'm a ham and an idiot and like just I'm begging and screaming to get in front of people to gab attention all the time. And like for you to not only have that, but also like the suffocating crush of like,
can't walk 4 feet. Like, yeah.
Some people want to come talk to me. Yeah. Some people want to come talk to Brian.
Yeah.
Some people want to go talk to Willie Dills.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to come talk to Scott Johnson because you are the sun for which we all orbit around. And when it comes to
that, well, maybe that metaphor works, but I like that you are one of the, if Nerdtacular is a sneeze, you have become one of the active particulates that just to continue a bad metaphor, but
no, it's so amazing. And by the way, I didn't realize until we drove back down into the valley to go to the airport that there was like a whole nother massive con happening.
Yeah, Fantasy Con. Nicole went to that one. Yeah. Fantasy Con, right.
Yeah, it's their first year.
Joined forces or something.
Yeah, maybe. It was their first year. Them using their dates the same as our dates kind of happened last second. And we realized it wasn't really a threat because you either want to come to Nerdtacular or you don't. Mm-hmm. Or if you're down here or you're local, you went to maybe Thursday up there anyway and it's no big deal. It was cheap. It's like $20 a day or something. But it's their first year. They had a lot of like Lord of the Rings people and, you know, kind of fantasy general stuff. But Salt Lake is in a bit of a, like 2 years ago, the first very successful, second biggest opening Comic-Con in the history of Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
They realized, oh, what are we doing? Why haven't we been doing this for two decades? Let's now go crazy. And now everybody's trying to get in on it.
That's names too, that Fantasy Con, right?
Yeah, like, big time. Sean Astin. Yeah, roles like Rudy. Yeah, Simon Pegg was there. Half the Firefly people. Yeah, loads. For some reason, what's his name? Danny Glover was there. I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know why he's a fantasy
guy. For that shit.
I guess. But but Comic-Con both, and they have two of those now every year. They have FanX and then the regular Comic-Con in the fall.
You said Danny Glover, and I thought Donald Glover.
I know. Well, why not? Because he's relevant right now.
And that makes sense. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't know he was doing fantasy god bookings. Now I thought he was all on the hip hop thing.
Yeah, no, it's the old man who's getting too old for this shit.
Exactly.
As he'd put it,
star of Saw, Danny Glover.
That's a sci-fi. Well, I guess he was in Predator 2. We'll give him that one. But yeah, there's a con fever in the valley right now, and that's probably good because there's a huge fan base to serve here and they've sold out everything.
You don't care about going head to head with that, right?
Oh, no. See, to me, that's the thing about that stuff is that they don't really actually compete because there's your mindless sort of, and not that it's bad. I mean, that's what Comic-Cons are good for. It's you and a throng of no one you know going to a place to meet famous people or to see cool stuff or to buy things that are nerdy or whatever. It's not the same as this kind of, well, it's not a community, you know? Like, it's not a direct connection with people who are consuming what you do, and Nerdtacular is just a different animal. And I hope it always is one. I don't want to be that other thing necessarily. There are plenty of those. Why be that?
And some of them do them extraordinarily well.
Sure.
Right. Uh-huh. Like you can go to San Diego Comic-Con, you can go to Salt Lake City Comic-Con, you can go to Dragon Con, you know, and all of them have the various levels of it. And that's like, if there was a degree of you guys being worried about that other con, my point would be, this is not a con. It really is a family reunion, and you might be going to the family reunion for the first time,
mm-hmm.
but no matter what, everybody, you know, there was a moment at the end of Saturday night, where it was me and a couple other people that were mostly like chat room people,
yeah.
sitting outside, and we were smoking cigars, and people would just kind of walk out, and it was like, no, just come over, just sit down. I never met like any of these people, and we all sat down, and we all had a great time, and we all just chit chatted and everything, because like there's that baseline: if you got a Nerdtacular badge swinging from your neck, then we're all friends.
Then we're pals. You know? That's the difference. Yeah. If you're a
Comic-Con,
whether
you like Firefly or Star Trek sure. or Doctor Who or whatever,
sure, sure. So that is what it is, and that's what it should always
like
be.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you like us, exactly. We're cool. We're cool. Well, Justin, always fun to hang out, and that was a blast, and I can't wait to do it again. It's Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Get anything? I guess you got Night Attack tonight, yeah?
No.
Night Attack
for the summer has moved to Sunday.
Oh, that's right, because of the vacation that what's-his-name's on.
Because, yeah, we're going to try and consolidate Brian's time for new media to Sundays. However, I'm trying to keep the Tuesday fires burning. So we're doing the one mic jury talks show. We're going to move that to weekly. We're going to ramp it up. It's going to happen at the same time that Night Attack usually happened. That's 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time on DiamondClub.tv. So go ahead and check it out and hang out there. If you like this segment, then you will very much like Jury Talks, because it is very much just me talking, you know, kind of extemporaneously on whatever topics I choose.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I think that sounds like a blast. People should spend more time with Jury, not less. More.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
More Jury.
Well, sweet,
We got to pick a movie or something to do another spoiler show.
I completely agree. And isn't there something... I didn't see Transformers at all, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. It sounds bad.
Who has that one in the draft anyway?
That's me. It did well. I mean, like, the funny thing is that it's like, well, it had the biggest opening of the summer.
Mm.
It will likely be the highest grossing of the summer.
Yeah.
And yet, we are nowhere near where we need to be. Like, our pooch is officially screwed unless Ninja Turtles fever just completely takes over everything.
Well, I was going to say, there's that Ninja Turtles deal coming up, and Guardians of the Galaxy is like a month away. 25 days away, whatever it is.
I keep hearing amazing, amazing things about the James Brown biopic. I hear actually Anne Hathaway, Scarlett Johansson, uh-huh. and who else? Reese Witherspoon actually have a naked makeout session.
Yeah, all
halfway
naked
through that movie.
All nude.
What?
And this is all fake. We're just trying to get people to go. Because so far we're feeling
in America.
Because we're feeling pretty good about our chances now, and we want that movie to do well. Also,
you guys have seen that James Brown drunk. James Brown
yes.
clip,
he's
right?
He's getting interviewed on CNN or something.
Have you seen that, Scott?
No, I'm not. I don't think I have now that you mentioned
it. I feel like you need to have at least like three of these clips like on your board at all times.
All right. I will go find them.
It's a man's world.
Oh, my
gosh. Like right in the middle of the interview, he just starts.
Does he really?
Yes.
Is he alive or dead?
He is dead.
Okay. All right. Well, rest in peace. James
Hardest
Brown.
Working man in show.
That's right. Mm-hmm. In the graveyard. So then one other thing I was going to say is that the next spoiler show will probably likely be this Apes thing. Isn't that next weekend or this weekend or something?
This weekend. Yeah, yeah. I actually have nothing but time because Ashley decided to be a lunatic and go two for two on cons for this this month and is going out to TAM. So I'm going to be chilling. Right here. So, if I'll go see...
Tall Atheist Monkeys. No? What
that's
is it?
One. That's it.
Close enough. It is the amazing meeting there.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. And that is like that's a big skeptics conference or whatever, right?
It is. All it right. is. Although, I don't think tall would be how you would describe James Randi or any of his cohorts, but...
All right.
Atheist Monkeys, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Ironically, we posted a link to that James Brown thing in the chat room, by the way.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Check that out.
Everybody needs to watch that immediately.
Get some audio from that later.
Justin,
I'm going to do my thing.
Justin, have a fantastic week. We'll talk about apes later, but may this week bring you all that you enjoy, deserve, and desire.
Love you guys.
Bye now.
See you, Jerry.
Where's his hang-up thing? Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Long show today. We knew it would be. Let me tell you this. If you're at home, I just want to do a little disclaimer here. You're at home and you're thinking to yourself, well, I didn't go to Nerd Tacklers. I didn't want to. And the damn thing I don't want to do is listen to this whole episode about how great it was. If you're that guy, I'm sorry about this episode. But if you're anybody else, I like talking about this stuff. And don't worry, yeah. It'll pass. The glow will pass. Yeah. We'll move on to more stupid things. Like, do monkeys even have brains? Because I really want to know.
Monkeys.
Wait, what was it?
Dogs.
Oh, dogs. Do dogs even have brains, right?
Do dogs have brains?
We're going to do a quick email, though. Oh, no. Before that, tweakedaudio.com sponsoring the show. Tweaked Audio, engineered for durability. Designed to sound great for music and talk in 7 great colors, 5 great styles. They even have over-the-ear hanging ones. Reduced noise on these designs as well. Compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android phones, MP3 players of all kinds, Windows Phone even. Lifetime warranty on everything they do at tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. Let's do emails, and they're brought to you by
Night of the Living Bread. My youngest brother and his friends are making a horror comedy about GMO bread coming to life, and it's hungry for human flesh. They need some extra dough on Kickstarter to make it as awesome as possible. Scramble on over to bit.ly/nightbread. We hope you rise to the occasion.
They're trying to get some extra dough. I get it. Mm-hmm. All right, Abinash wrote in, excuse me, and says, hey, Scott. Just listen to last week's Wednesday's edition of TMS. And I completely agree with you on the worst line ever in the movie, The Avengers. As soon as you brought it up that you hated that line, I immediately said to myself, party, before I even finished the sentence. I cannot understand how anyone can defend that line. I don't think Brian had seen that movie in a long time to actually defend it. It completely takes you out of the movie right before arguably the best scene in the film, and I wish they would have at least removed it from the DVD release.
Nah.
TLDR, the party sucks. Abinash.
I disagree. Still disagree.
That's been real divided. Lots of emails for and against.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow.
A lot of people agree with me, and a lot of people agree with you that it's good or that it's fine. Or
it's,
you know,
fine. It's not. You know, it's not. It's certainly not the best line. It's no puny god or, yeah, you know, or shawarma or anything like that, but it's...
Yeah, we should make it clear that Brian isn't actually saying it's a wonderful thing. He's just saying it doesn't take away from the movie or ruin that scene.
No,
and
no,
I'm
not
saying
at all.
It's terrible and dumb.
I don't think that's a party. You're right. It's not a party.
I don't think that's a party. No one talks like that after they've been fighting aliens for the last 10 minutes. I hate that scene, and I love her, and I love her character. I want this to be real clear. I think it is purely a thing they shouldn't have said when they said it. That's all. That's all.
Okay. All right.
That's it for emails. We'll do more tomorrow. And tomorrow, speaking of which, we'll have Nicole back for recommendals. We'll have Tom back. I mean, there's a chance we'll still flowerly talk about Nerdtacular a tiny bit with people this week because, you know, they were here and they were all rad. And I want to talk about, you know, what they want to talk about. So just relax. I don't know why I'm bracing for this. Who cares? If you don't like Nerdtacular talk, then you should come and then find out why we are. Okay.
Huh?
I don't know. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. On Twitter, we're @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. Later today, a brand new episode of The Diary of a Cartoonist will go up. New episodes of Final Score tomorrow. I got to talk to you about TMS PM on Thursday, but I can't say anything on the air because it's kind of a huge spoiler. So I got to talk to you about that.
Ooh.
I'll do that right after I hang up on everybody.
Morgan Freeman will be joining us for an episode of TMS PM.
Did you know Fletcher did a good Morgan Freeman? I had no idea.
I had no idea until he started reading that intro thing.
I almost didn't include that. I'm so glad I did now.
That was spectacular.
That was amazing. By the way, that film sack is up and on the feed, so woo-hoo! If you want to hear us have a really good time with great Q&A, that's a hell of an episode.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I love that we did that. It's... One of the benefits of doing a live film set that we can't do, of course, during the studio.
I almost did TMS that way, but I thought we were running late, so I ended it almost 25 minutes early. And had I known what I was doing, I would have still had Q&A. But
and we can't mention live film sec without saying how we missed Randy and wish he could have been there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to have Brian and Scott with us, but it's never the same without the whole crew. But we still turned out to be pretty fun. And I Have we ever picked a better movie for a live film sack? I'm not sure we have.
No, Master of the Universe, good.
Yeah.
This one, perfect.
Perfect. Dead straight on. All right. That's going to do it, I think. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's everything else. Full roster of shows this week moving forward. So everybody should be happy with the output.
Yay.
So
yay. That'll be great.
We're back on it. Brian, let's get the hell out of here. Do you have music or something?
I do.
All right.
Dear Rainbow Serpent and Bunyip.
Oh, my gosh.
8th of July in your time zone marks my 20th wedding anniversary to the day to my lovely wife, who by some cruel twist of fate and poor timing thought she was marrying a surfer who turned out to be a professional computer nerd, gaming nut, and sometimes surfer.
Wow.
5 houses, 3 kids, 2 cats, and 1 dog later, we are still going strong. What did you do with the kids and the cats and the dog? I can understand 5 houses. Did you sell all the?
What are you doing there, man?
Helen, there have been tough times, but we've managed to pull through and seen some great adventures. I'm so glad I've managed to share so much with you, and I look forward to racking up at least another 20 big ones with you. I love you, babe. He also says, we met straight out of high school and have not looked back since. Hopefully I've managed to get my wife, who struggles with the nerd culture, to sit through today's podcast long enough to get to the special message as we drive to Yalingup. Let's hear you mispronounce that one, for a few days away together. Brian, our first dance was to Endless Love, but I leave it in your capable hands to find something relating to the 80s that is entertaining for everyone. Scott, feel free to insert a random soundbite here.
Beep. Scott. Oh, okay. You want me to give a real one? How about, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. How about...
Rise from your grave.
There you go.
Beautiful. Go Throw a Hobo, signed Ben, from Perth in Western Australia, a.k.a. Ben in the Tadpool, if I ever get there.
All right.
All right, so yeah, Endless Love. The only cover that I have worth note of Endless Love is one by Wing. And I played that hidden at the end of the last cover villain. I'm not going to play that again.
All right, you're not going
to. Don't need to hear that
ever again.
But this okay. one, but this one's nice. It's a great song. It's a great original, and it's a really, really good cover. And it's a good, sweet kind of, you know, up thing, upbeat thing. It's Brian Chartrand from his 2012 album La Belle Époque, and it is a cover of INXS's Don't Change.
All right, let's play it now. We'll guys see you tomorrow.
We'll guys see you tomorrow.
Jawohl. If you guys have any problems, questions, or whatever, direct them toward the hand. Here it is. It's Don't Change. We'll see you on mañana. Why isn't it playing? Oh, there we go.
Standing here on the ground, the sky above won't fall down. See no evil in all directions. Resolution of happiness. Things have been dark for too long. Don't change for you. Don't change a thing for me. Don't change for you. Don't change a thing for me. Found a love that I had lost. It was gone for too long. Hear no evil in all directions. Executioner bitterness. Message received loud and clear. Don't change for you. Don't change a thing for me. Don't change for you. Don't change a thing for me. Standing here on the ground, the sky above won't fall down. See no evil in all directions. The resolution of happiness. Things have been dark for too long. Don't change for me. Don't change a thing for me. So don't change for you. Don't change a thing. Don't change a thing for me.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What the hell are you talking about, Frankenstein?